I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Now's the time to get on, like Spike Lee said, get on the bus. Go get your work and keep your beeper chirping as a must. If you're on that dust of corn sod, familiar with that smack, man, this music is like that green stuff.
Twice upon a time, there was a boy who died twice and lived happily ever after, but that's another chapter. Live from the home of the brave with Dirty Dollars and Beauty Parlors and Baby Bottles and Bowling Ball Impalas.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your hosts, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house for another episode where we got a couple guests on via Skype.
Yes, sir.
And you may recognize their voices if you've been listening to some of the shows that we've been listening to.
Yes, sir.
But we have Larian from Yeah Right Radio and now WCMCOnline.com, the conglomerate of random ratchet bloggers and radio hosts and podcasts and all kinds of shit. Say what's up to everybody, Simp Say.
What's happening, man? It's your boy, Larian, a.k.a. Simp Say, a.k.a. Unk. A thousand names, man. I got hope.
Yeah, somebody said, a.k.a. Hollywood Larian.
Yeah, I got Hollywood again. We just had Royce. I'm surprised Rod didn't get into too much trouble about that. But yeah, we just had Royce on the last one, so.
Royce from the Bad Girl Club? Or be Basketball Wives?
Hell nah, Royce the 5'9".
All right. I mean, cause you said it like we all was on a first name basis with Royce the 5'9". I just wanted to clarify. I know you are. You know what I'm saying? I know you are big time, but not all of us.
We ain't dead yet.
I couldn't have Royce on that. I would destroy that woman. But anyway.
And then of course we have Adjective J from the Negro Majority podcast. And Negro is spelled K-N-E-E space. GROW. A man that hates hearing the word minority because he hates the news, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the one program that he hates is the news because they always calling us minority.
Yes, minority. That's what we are. Minority. We the biggest population, but they still call you minority.
Yeah. So say what's up to everybody, Adjective J.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I only got one name. I can't live like Larian yet. I can't afford the other names, but I'm working my way up. One day.
You can be Compton J, man. Hollywood Larian. Long Beach J.
You know, I'll represent for Alabama, so you know, I'll be Birmingham J, Selma J.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate both of y'all joining us. Of course, the websites for Larian is WCMCOnline.com. And for people that don't know what that stands for, Larian, what does that mean, man? Tell them about Craft.
We sat around and threw something together, and it was with their creative minds connect. But my particular team over at Yeah Right Radio, of course, them being very verbose, they were and being the creators of this whole craft movement, they made it where craft meets craft. and craft is just like anything, kind of like next level, you know. It's like the actual definition of craft, like fine work. So that's what we consider ourselves doing over in our own, you know, ratchet type way. Like it's ignorance, but ignorance refined. Like I like.
Oh, that's what's up, man. I know over there y'all got Miss Rada, y'all got Liam. I forget the other cast name, and I don't mean no offense.
No, that's cool. It's the newest edition. That's Mariano. It's at Revolutionary. Okay. On Twitter. But yeah, that's the team right there.
Alright, and for people that want to follow you on Twitter, it's at SimpSay, right?
Yep.
SimpSay. There you go. And Adjective J, your website is AJ. Oh, no, wait, huh? I just heard this a couple minutes ago. ADGI.blogspot.com. What does the ADGI mean, man?
That was when I was really arrogant, and it actually stands for dynamic genius intellect. But yeah. I don't have to disclose that. That was back in, you know, the arrogant days. So yeah.
So you try to stay pretty humble then.
Now.
You must have got curved.
Hey, going back going back on that vegan diet, that'll humble me, man.
Hey, I'm feeling great, man. Actually, I just got down on some Soy Joy chicken. I just want to let you know, and you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm actually going to start some sword training here in a little bit, because swords will always be better than tasers.
Wow. No,
don't get me.
No, and that chicken sounds happy. That chicken sounded like it was dancing for you. Soy Joy chicken.
Now, also, man, Karen had a couple of questions about how you started the show and stuff like that. Because we already know how Larry started the show. He felt that there was an absence, a vacuum of craft out there in the world. And he needed to form a group of people together to combine to create craft for the masses.
Craft superheroes.
Yeah, so they performed it.
I heard of this show called The Black Guy Who Tips, and I just stole the idea. Run with it.
So Jay, how'd you get your start, man? What made you decide I need to put this shit into a podcast form?
I guess, you know, I was blogging, and you know, I like the blogging, and I like to write, and I've always been a writer, and I just don't like my voice. I really hate the way I sound, and I've never been a fan of it. So I heard actually you guys' podcast, and I heard one podcast before, and I kind of was familiar with it, but every podcast I heard had kind of been like white guys and like white humor. And then, like, when I heard you guys, and then, like, you guys put me on with, because I remember actually one of the first podcasts I heard was with Larian. And then, of course, I started, like, checking out Yeah Right Radio. And then I started checking out all these other podcasts that were done by black people. It was like, you know, there's this whole, I guess, like, entity of podcasts that are done by black people and this black humor. And I was like, I have actually a chance to put my voice in there and just see what happens. And, like I said, I tried it once, and I just kind of got hooked. So now I'm still doing it.
Cool, man. Now that's kind of, I think, doing a podcast by yourself is hard.
Yes. Oh my God. Like, that's why, like, if you notice, like, I started off by myself, and then I just started just getting guest host after guest host after guest host, because, like, I don't create well with others. Like, I don't do well when I'm, like, have someone creating with me. Like, I don't want to, you know, give any other decisions to anybody else, because I'm selfish like that. But, you know, having guest hosts on it, it makes it a little easier. The shows I write by myself are ridiculous, and it's intensive. And I really wish I didn't have to do it. So I get as many guest hosts as possible, and, you know, that makes it a little easier.
One thing I can say about you, Adjective J, is that when I was on your show, it was very fun. It was easy to feed off of you, and you did a very good job of the ones I've listened to are pulling off of your guests, which is very hard to do when you normally work a lot by yourself.
Well, you know, I appreciate it. Really, I just try to, you know, have fun, and I figure if I have fun and the person with me has fun, then whoever is, you know, listening to it, they'll enjoy it too. So that's what I try to do. It's fun for me. Like I said, even though I am kind of selfish, I do actually like people. And even though I'm a little arrogant, you know, I'm not as arrogant as I used to be. As Larry mentioned, I got curved kind of hard. So, you know.
Well, I do notice that you have a lot of women guests on your show. Is it a good way to meet women?
Honestly, the women guests on my show just so happens that these are people that I follow on Twitter and I actually interact with on Twitter. And it's really just a bit of lack of, like, dudes that I interact with on Twitter, and it's making me now feel a little self-conscious about that. But, I mean, you know, there are some dudes on the show, and actually is one that I have done the most with is a dude who lives here named Juice.
Juice.
And I know him. Like, you know, me and him grew up together, so, like, you know, it works out. But, yeah, no, I didn't even think about that. Maybe it should be a better way for me to meet women. If I was doing it right, it probably would be.
Can you tell, like, the difference, since you are fairly new to the podcast game, the difference between before you started your podcast and after you started your podcast, and, like, how people interact with you?
I guess it's one of those things where, like, I'm starting to realize, and as I do the podcast, I'm like, I don't know, you know, if you caught the last episode, but the last episode, like, I had, like, a whole little spout off, like, rant, and I'm starting to realize now that, you know, I'm getting more callous towards what people say to me. Because, you know, at first, you know, you first start getting feedback, you're really like, oh, well, I need to change that. Oh, you're right, I don't need to say that. And then after a while, you just get to that point where, like, you just get pushed to it. It's like, you know what, fine, this is where we are now. I don't care anymore. So, I don't know. It's been an experience, and it's one of those things where, like, I really appreciate everybody who supports it and who says, you know, that they enjoy it. And I'm starting to realize that if I do something that I think is a quality product and put it out there, more than likely, like, more people enjoy it than not.
Yeah, it's coming, my nigga. That's how it happens, yo. Having an opinion, that's when motherfuckers
start slandering you. Yeah. And yeah, you just put a thought out there. All of a sudden, you got a Twitter beef, and you're like, damn it, I'm just minding my business.
Yeah,
before
Karen,
you even ignore me.
Last night, Karen said that if she was Rondo, she wouldn't have came back in the game with no fucked up elbow. And some nigga was over there arguing with her about that. Like, damn, she can't say what she would have did.
You know what? I saw that, and I was thinking, like, and I still say this, like, Twitter beef is just Taco Bell beef. It's the exact same thing. It's 30% actual beef, but it's just everybody inflating it. And if you don't add anything to it, you don't really have anything. And people don't, you know, they don't realize that. Like, it's my opinion. It doesn't matter what you think, you know? And I'm getting to the point now where I'm on my ride, where I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you. I don't care. And it's, I'm getting to that point, and you kind of have to be like that.
Yeah, you kind of have to be, because the thing is that when we seen the thing and Rondo went down and he talked about his elbow was fucking dislocated, okay? And I was like, well, in my opinion, fuck that. I made too much money to walk around with like my arm fucked up. People talking about he's brave. Fuck that. He ain't brave. Having your body not function correctly is not brave. Sports is the only area. You do this shit in a normal 9-to-5, your supervisor gonna look at your ass and say, take your broke arm home. They're not gonna tell you you brave for withstanding it and typing anyway. They're gonna tell you to go home. When you add all this money to it, all of a sudden it's an exception to the rule, because the dude came back and he was like, well, you know, well, it's just his arm, you know, his elbow. It ain't his brain or his heart. I don't give a fuck what it is. It's a part of his body and it's supposed to be in and function correctly.
Yeah, well, longest intro ever.
That's why if I ain't say nothing. I already know how the game goes.
I'm still new, my bad.
No, you ain't doing that wrong. It's fine.
They ain't made it in an intro in under 20 minutes, and I couldn't tell you when. So we actually probably still
breaking records.
Yeah.
Well, we like to introduce people to our guests first before telling them.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Black Guy Who Tips. So in case you don't know how to get back to this podcast because, you know, maybe you found this iPod in the bathroom or something,
yes,
you want to go to theblackguywhotips.com, where we have our blog, our podcast, and we have our forums. You can go there, you can donate to the show, you can do a recurring donation, you can do a one-time donation. We appreciate everybody that donates to the show. I actually had a funny thought this weekend because I was reminiscing when we had Bomani Jones in the studio with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on his face when I told him that people donate to the podcast.
Yes, he looked like, oh, they give you money?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, it's funny, man, when people don't see that you actually getting a check for what you do, this sometimes they'll help you out. You know, of course, you can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Rodimus Prime.
I'm Say That Again. That is in D-A-T.
And I forgot to say the adjective J is adjective _J.
J.
Of course, the official weapon of this show is?
The official weapon is the taser.
And the unofficial sport?
Is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme.
Oh, yeah.
And you can email the show, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call, 704-557-0186. Leave us a voicemail. That's when we typically respond to those on Saturday mornings.
Yes.
And we try to get a good feedback show in every week for the fans.
Yes.
And this show is sponsored. This show is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. It's time for another free audio play giveaway. But this time, only true fans of the show are getting it.
Uh-oh.
So here's what you have to do. You go to shadowdogproductions.com/tourism.html and you click add to cart. Man, that seems pretty easy so far, huh?
Mm-hmm.
See the box marked discount code? See that box when you go there? You're going to have to answer a trivia question about the Black Guy Who Tips show, and this short comedy audio play, Tourism, is all yours for free 99.
Free!
For free!
Nothing, dog.
But if you put in the wrong answer, you don't get shit.
No. You have to pay for it.
You gotta put the right answer. Now, you can try more than once, of course. But here's the trivia question. And Larry and Azure J, if y'all know the answer, don't say anything.
Please don't.
What is Rod's nickname for Dwight Howard?
Oh.
If you know the answer, come over to Shadow Dog Productions website and pick up your free comedy audio play. Once again, the answer is, the question is, what is Rod's nickname for Dwight Howard?
So that means for you new people?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Go back and listen to the old episode.
Yeah, that only hardcore fans have been listening for a long time would know.
I've been listening, like, since about, I thought I was in later in the game with y'all than I was. I've been down since, like, episode 34, actually. So I've been and I hate Dwight Howard, so I got many a nickname for his bum ass, but I didn't know you had one. That's my brother. Y'all, people don't know. Y'all might have missed it before, but like Rod is like seriously my brother. I have to do some research. I don't know. My dad did. I cannot stand this dude, man. I cannot.
Yo, he is the worst, man. Until he started going hard in the paint on Royce over this money, then I was kind of like, all right, well, that is hardcore. I got to give him props for that.
Yeah.
But on the court, boom.
Yeah.
All right, man. So let's go ahead and get into some podcasts. And I got some random thoughts, and then we got some articles. And we're just going to do this thing, man, because no matter how last minute shit is, we can always do this thing professional and just fake it till we make it. And that's what this podcast is all about.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to fake it till we make it.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't know. We're not in the studio. We're in the spare bedroom with one mic.
Yes.
So, you know, the people got dreams. You know what I'm saying? I'm just living my dream right now.
Yes, and one day we're going to be live like Hollywood Larry and we trying to blow up.
Yeah, got to get us a soundboard.
I know. Yeah, we're going to have to get a soundboard so when we play it, y'all can hear it too.
I tell you what, man, y'all, whenever y'all, no, this is a scary experience, I'm telling you. Y'all did my show before, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You never know who's getting on that line. You got to try to. I had Emily get on there, and Emily's my girl, but Emily's a self-proclaimed host. You know what I mean? Oh, shit, Em, not now, babe. Later on now. We'll talk later. And trust me, man, run from that live shit, man. It's fun once the game's on, but, God, it's an experience to have your heart by the beat of your chest.
Yeah, we might not take calls.
Yeah, we'll see where it's gonna go.
But all right, let's go ahead and get into the podcast. I was thinking about sex toys. After we talked to Deidre,
yes.
You know, Deidre goes hard. Deidre goes hard in the tank.
Yes, very hard. Yes.
Goes hard in the motherfucking tank.
Yes, very hard.
So we were talking to Deidre and whatnot, and I was thinking there's two types of sex toys. There's sex toys that enhance and cooperate with the sexual situation, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this is from a male perspective, but then there's other sex toys that don't need no help. They like, I got this. You're just getting in my way. Like, I think a lot of dudes are intimidated by the sex toys that got like all the levers and gadgets and shit like that, cause it's like, what am I around for? There's no interaction needed.
And maybe this is just me. And because of the toys I have, I think when it comes to sex toys, women win. I'm sorry. Everything goes in. I just push and it vibrates and it moves and it does its thing.
Shit got lights on it.
Yes. Yes. It sings songs and shit. Hell yeah. I like it.
But I think there's only two types, man. Now y'all are both dudes, man. Have y'all ever had any interaction with sex toys, whether using them on a chick, using them on yourself, or just watching the chick use them? I go with Larry first since he got, you know, he's older and probably has a lot more.
Oh yeah, he probably got stories that went wrong.
I wanted to defer to Jay so I could feel comfortable in whatever my answer was. I've never had none used on me. They don't really make none for me. Well, you know, other than Jesus' boyfriend or ex at the time. I mean, I'm not really for all the penetration action. So, but nah, I've used them on chicks before. I love sex toys because that, you know, that works for me. And then like, you know, I'd be like, hey, you play with this. I'm about to go downstairs and play on the PlayStation. So everybody wins. It's like, yeah, this is better than me.
I honestly feel like I just learned something just now. I'm literally getting ready to grab a notepad and just write that down. Why haven't I thought to do that before? I don't get that.
it's a tried method and proven method for me. There you have it.
What about you, Jay? You ever had any experience dealing with a chick with sex toys and stuff?
No, I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, I've never had the, like, you know, Larry said, I've never had the Deidre experience, and I don't think I ever will. There's not a point for me where I feel comfortable enough with anyone to just be like, hey, you know, let me get you to take something and, like, you know, rape me with it. that's not ever going to happen for me. But I mean, I think like with sex toys, sometimes guys get like a little intimidated. And a lot of times it happens because they think it's like a, I guess, replacement for them. And I think like it's kind of cool how Larian approached it because, you know, obviously he doesn't feel threatened by it. And I think a lot of times you may have some dudes who, you know, they feel like they're lacking in a certain department to be nice about it. And, you know, the sex toy, obviously, you know, the girl pulls out like the 10 inch like dildo with like pearls and beads and
Dolphins,
yeah, click clacks and levers, and it's like, you know, you can get intimidated. It's like, I didn't, you know, I don't even like, I really don't like, you know, I don't glow in the dark, so I mean, I don't know, I don't glow in the dark. Like, am I supposed to?
Man, you're losing. You gotta get your aura. Yeah. I put you on my.
Yeah,
please, Mariano, they'll teach you how to glow. Now these young cats, that's their whole thing, man.
Once you get your key, man, you know what I'm saying, QI, that's when you start glowing, man. You just gotta get that Dragon Ball Z about you, man. Go Kamehameha on that pussy.
And the thing about it is that most dudes shouldn't feel intimidated because it's a substitute, but it's nothing like the real thing.
First of all, until they invent a sex toy that's gonna slap her on the ass, grab her hair, ask her whose it is, and help pay some bills, This shit can't do nothing with me. Go be happy with that vibrate shit if that's all you want in your life. I ain't trying to knock you. Yeah. But no, it's not a replacement for a man. It's like saying a pocket pussy is a replacement for a woman.
Nope. That's true.
You know what I mean? There's no nigga in the earth that does not feel pathetic after taking that shit off his dick.
Cause,
so, cause women gotta be the same way to some extent where they're just kinda like, that was good, but you know, I wish somebody was here with me.
Yes, and on top of that, there's nothing like just the face-to-face, the breathing, the sweating that goes along. I'm sorry. Unless that bit a dildo that can full-fledged form into a real man with using double D batteries, you know, nothing more than that, then we can work.
Yeah, plus women cheap as hell, so, I mean, they ain't about to buy one of those, like, robots. Like Japan and shit, you know. You could buy like a sex robot if you're a dude in Japan, but you know, women, they not about to do that. They don't even want to pay for a whole meal.
That shit, like it hurts too.
Now, if I see a woman on a date, now listen, the first time I see a woman on a date with a dildo and that shit is picking up the check, it's a wrap, fellas.
I'm serious. If we
obsolete.
Yeah, if mine start paying bills and going to work and all that stuff off them same WDs. Yeah, baby, I'm sorry. It'll be Karen and the vibrator.
Yeah, the vibrator who tips.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So I'm coming. I'm trying to come up with a name. And I tweeted about this earlier. Y'all might have seen. I think Jay was talking about it, too. I'm trying to come up with a name for the state of inebriation between sober and drunk because that's really about my range. I'm not into passing out and, you know, taking off my clothes and laying on the bed with just my socks hanging out and have people take pictures
drinking
of me
and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not into that shit. What, Larry? What?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
All right, whatever.
I can't say. I'm just not into that. That's all.
Yeah, cool, right?
I didn't say anybody was into that.
I didn't call no name.
Yeah, I feel innocent, so.
What's so bad about that is that I know that wasn't premeditated. Like, that was. No, until, like, right. Alright, cool, right? No problem.
Hey, you can look on the sheet and see I didn't write any of that down. But, I'm trying to come up with a name and people were giving me suggestions because I don't like tipsy for a dude, I don't feel comfortable being like, I'm tipsy. You know what I'm saying? It just feels like something a chick would say or, you know, other people were giving me like other suggestions, you know, like, but they were either like, for states that were way further than what I mean, like hammered. I don't get hammered. I'm 32. Yeah. I have responsibilities. I have shit to do in the morning.
Yes.
Hammered is hangover time.
Yes, that is.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying not to get to that point anymore. That's like if I get hammered, I fucked up that night. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Like, damn, I should stop.
You end up like I did, asshole.
So some people suggested, one dude told me he uses states of toast. So he goes from, something like, brown to burnt or some shit like to toast it. He goes something to toast it to burnt. And I was like, I don't want to tell anybody I got burnt last night.
Yeah.
No. So that don't sound good.
I don't know who you kicking with, but if I came to, yo, Larry, what up, son? You missed a crazy party, dog. You should have seen it. I got burnt, dog. I got burnt last night.
Oh, thank you.
Hanging out with a couple chicks got burnt that night.
Because if you tell me, you're going to get checked for some STDs.
Yeah, so I was like, I can't use that. Another person said they use loose. It's like, oh.
That sounds worse than tipsy.
It does, right?
Loose, that sounds like a woman that just went out there and said, fuck it, I'm fucking everybody.
And I'm a dude. Man, I was loose last night. Wait a minute, where? What part of your body was loose? Well, now, what are you guys
doing at that party? Talk here. You talking about loose like that? You sure Deidre wasn't at that party?
Yeah, maybe Deidre is. And that's what that dude was saying after. He's like, oh, I got loose tonight. Everybody's like, oh, you just mean he's drinking. No, mm-hmm. No. Larry, what do you say when you get that state between sober and before fucked up? Like, what do you call that?
In between, I usually say I'm, I think I just normally just say buzz. Like, I think that's my normal term, like, before we get, you know, yeah, before we get all the way faded. Because I was actually about to say, pickled, which... With all this homophobia, I'm surrounded. I was like, wow, yeah, that's gonna work either.
Hey, if you're lucky, you can say it on this show, man. It won't get back to you. Yo,
we don't judge.
I say it on my show, but, you know, I just know the hellfire is gonna come down.
So what do you say, Jay?
Actually, you know what? I guess I had said I'm getting ribald on Twitter, which, by the way, like, I actually did look it up, and I retract that now. Apparently, ribald is completely sexual, which I was unaware of, and I'm guessing that, you know.
What did you think it would be? I'm getting ribald. That sounds tame to me.
Yeah. I wasn't sure, and that's why I looked it up, and then I was like, okay. I was wrong on that one. I would just go for, I'm getting comfortably drunk. Like, I mean, you don't want to be just, like, wasted to the point where you're uncomfortable. So I'm just getting comfortably drunk or just getting comfortable.
Yes, and that word you said, it sounds like you get raped in the eye. Sorry. I was like, Robert, what the hell is that? Because Roger's been using all these terms, and I have to find out what it is. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Go ahead, Larry, I'm sorry.
Just ask when you hang out with your white friends. Then you went totally ribald them.
You took pictures of it, put it on Facebook, yes. Tagged his mother to it.
You should have seen him, man.
But what I'm going to start using is prime. Like, I'm going to start just saying, like, I was prime last night. You can use it like I was in prime form. You can use it for that state when you're about to go to all the way to drunk, because you can say I'm primed. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how I be feeling. I be feeling like I'm in prime form. My brain is still working tight. Everything is still funny. But I'm not fucked up or out of control. I'm not about to black out.
That's cool, but then you make me want a steak.
Whatever, Karen. You call it what you want. But men, it's my term only.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Other people want to use it, that's fine. But, I mean, obviously at this point, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be the only one saying it.
Yes.
I'm gonna say I'm feeling prime, man.
I'm cool.
Like, this Bacardi and rum got, this Bacardi and Coke got me feeling prime tonight.
I think I'm gonna stick, I guess because I'm a woman, I stick to tipsy, I'm fine.
Yeah, women can say that shit because all them words with the Z's and S's in it, y'all, that's for y'all.
Okay.
So tipsy, buzzed, whatever y'all wanna call it, but, you know, and then all my white friends got the extreme, like, I was nuclear bomb last night. You're like, okay.
I went Chernobyl. What the hell? What are you talking about?
Drink it to the edge. Yeah. All right, man. Speaking of white people and drinking, I'm starting to think that white people are slowly paying back reparations by buying Negroes drinks. Now, I don't know if y'all kick it with white people that have jobs and shit. I do.
Yes.
And they always buy my drinks.
Yes. Yeah. I don't even drink. And a lot of times, they be like, Karen, what you want? I be like, nothing. They get angry. They be like, what you want? I be like, give me a soda then. They're like, no, what kind of drink you want? We had this thing where we beat the table and a little cup fell in the glass and I didn't know what the hell to do with it.
It was called a sake bomb.
Oh, okay. See, I don't drink that often. I was like, hey, why is everybody beating on the table with me? See, I'm sorry, I don't know nothing about drink etiquette.
Right, yeah, and I mean, of course I wanted to invent my drink, the Nagasaki bomb, where you take eggnog and then you take sake and you do bomb and you drink it. And it's probably maybe the most offensive name drink that I could come up with. But, I mean, if you think about it, it's, you know, Japanese rice wine. that you're dropping into the middle of eggnog. Now it's seasonal, of course, but I mean, I thought that was brilliant, but nobody has taken me up on it because it probably tastes like shit.
I bet you do, and you call me racist.
That's just like the
not racist.
That's just like the Mexican car bomb. It is as racist as it sounds. It's like a Corona that you drop like tequila into, and it tastes terrible. It's like the worst thing ever. I mean, it'll get you primed, but it's a monster. Like, you don't want to do that. Like, I did it one time, and I regretted it immediately after doing it. And then I did it a couple more times after that, and I regretted those too. But I really regretted, you know, next morning when I was like nursing some Gatorade.
Now, did a white person buy that drink for you?
Yeah, you know, I always thought that was just because, like, I'm a really big black dude, and I thought they were just trying to appease the black guy. Like, let's just keep him, you know, happy. And I just thought I didn't have the money. And, you know, that's one of those stereotypes that worked in my favor. So I was like, okay, yeah, you can buy me drinks all night.
I think you're right, though. I think you're right, and I think that's what Rod's hitting at, if I'm not being presumptuous.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I'm hitting at, Larry. And I think that they feel bad. Like, if you're not doing as good as them, they're like, well, it's probably because you're black. And it's an unspoken thing, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, this nigger. They're just like, oh man, I like this dude. And I owe him. My family probably owns some of his family. Let me at least give him some drinks, because we know we ain't about to give him no reparations. So, I'm keeping accounts, man. And some of my friends are almost paid up, and some of them got a long way to go, you know. But if they listening to this, then they know they got to, you know, some of y'all got to get on your grind.
I feel like we might be saying too much already, though, Rod, because it may get back to them. Like, maybe they don't even know they're doing this shit, and it's like, wait a minute, I do feel guilty. I didn't know that nigger ever. Why? I don't know.
I don't even believe in affirmative action, and here I am giving people drinks.
Yeah, this guy is, yo, you are really a genius. Like, I never thought about this shit, because I got to write a blog entry about that. That'll be coming out pretty soon, and we were actually going to talk about drinking with your white friends, because they do always buy the drinks. I didn't realize that they owed us those drinks, but now,
yeah, they do.
Like, all right, now since I got that DUI recently, I wonder if they'll pay for that too, because I was drinking with white people. They bought me a lot of alcohol. It wasn't even my birthday. I was going for somebody else's birthday, and they got me trashed. But none of them help any of the money to get me out of this legal situation I'm now
in. So you were full of the white man's liquor.
that's the other side who wasn't hanging out with me.
I'm not like a conspiracy theorist, but it sounds like they were trying to get you drunk, Larry. Like, maybe they were just trying to set you up to get you into the system, man.
My white people. But I still live in the South, and so there's other white people who are like, oh, look at this. You've been hanging out with white people, haven't you? You think you better than other boys? Because he's working. You gotta think, the cop is working. So he's mad.
So what was it like? What was it like when you got pulled over, man?
I laughed because I knew I was going to jail. I went right to laughing, like I giggled because I was like, yeah, I'm going to jail. I chuckled. This man don't give a shit.
In the back of your mind, when you think about, this is going to make a good Yeah Right radio episode.
You know what? I was thinking, I'm going to jail. Just a little bit. I'm going to jail. When I at the point where I got pulled over, I actually quit drinking. I knew, you know, the risk I was running. So I had quit drinking for about 2 hours. And I actually barely blew over the legal limit. I got pulled over for speeding. I wasn't like swerving anything like that. You know, and I was, you know, just right over the limit. So I kind of knew, but I just knew where I was at. And I knew, you know, I live out in the country. I'm like, they are taking me to jail. There's nothing to question here, you know. And that's just going to be the end of it. I spent about 4 hours in custody. It was the wackest 4 hours of my life. You'll never see me in jail again. If I go to jail again, bro, it's going to be for something real. I'm going down for some money. Something hardcore for murder. I'm not going for no DUI. 4 hours in jail was whack. Never go.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you, I love my husband, but it would not be an episode of the Black Guy Who Tips that week if Roger get a DUI. I'm sorry.
Nah.
But how we gonna pay for the court costs if we don't get no donations?
You're right.
I had to get back on these streets, baby. Eat the beast.
Well, it won't be none that day.
But you know what's interesting? Like, you got pulled over for speeding, but you knew you were going to jail. Cause it was like, so you were fucked up enough to know, like, I'm gonna look fucked up when they come up to you.
No, I was, I mean, I promise you, I was very coherent. I just knew I've been pulled over before. They always give you a breathalyzer. I know I wasn't tore up, but I knew I had enough to blow. I knew that much. I had quite a bit of liquor, but I just hadn't had any in like 2 hours. And I metabolized pretty quick. And actually, by the time you got me down to the station, about 20, maybe 30 minutes later, I was already under the limit. So,
wow.
You know, it was, I just knew the routine. You live out here in the country, you live in the South, man. I live in the country part of my city too. So I'm like, oh, this ain't going well. Like, I already know. The dude who pulled me over, I work with his brother-in-law every day. Like, this is world we're talking. This is Mayberry, like.
Damn. So is that good? Are you thinking about how that might fuck you up if you try to get another job? Like, if that's on your record, or is it not even at that point yet?
I don't know. You just depressed the shit out of me.
Yeah.
If I said it's depressed, you might have it expunged.
I mean, we can also talk about how I think you have a problem with alcohol at this point, man. I mean, Larian Sox, you know what I'm saying? That shit happened. I mean, you had that Four Loko, and you fell asleep on Where's My 48th. You know, Four Loko got nothing but caffeine, so I know you was drinking more than just Four Loko that night. So like, then you got the DUI, man. Do we need to have a talk, man?
Intervention. I got a story for every one of those, though. So I don't think I got a problem. Maybe I do.
Alcoholics got stories.
Yeah.
Yes, because
I fell asleep on their podcast. It was what's his name? Brandon hit me up last minute, and I was like, "B, I'm tired. I don't know what, dog." I said, "I will do this, and I'm gonna try this." So I tell you what, I'm gonna run out and go grab a Four Loko since y'all did that without me, and see if it works. See if it helps keep me up. And I was good for a while. But you know, Brandon, man, Brandon podcast be a hot 7 hours. I fell off.
They need to change the name of that shit from Where's My 40 Acres to The Middle Passage. shit's like 5 hours long, man.
Yeah. Now, mind you, that was a two-part podcast. And I thought, okay, well, when did I fall asleep? So I'm listening to the podcast. I was up for like the first hour and 45 minutes. I'm like, well, nigga, that's a wrap. There's just you fell asleep the second show. Like, you know what I mean? That's what happened. So, you know, I have a problem with alcohol. But I ain't quitting, not yet. I ain't won yet.
Nah, quitting is for losers.
Yeah, and on top of that, you must have been tired as shit because that Four Loko had my heart fucking racing for days.
Me too, man.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was really tired. I do remember that. I was just like, man, I'm about out of here. But I was like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, I hold it down, and you know, I got killed for it, man.
Well, I went to the bank this week. I don't like going to the bank. I don't know about you guys, but they fucked up something with my actual with my fucking money. Like, I made a deposit. They entered the shit wrong, and I ended up with all kinds of motherfucking charges. And like, I went and checked my bank account the Monday morning, and my shit was like $1,000 in the negative. I was like, "What? Did somebody like hack my account? Did somebody steal my credit card?" No, they just fucked up. So we had to send Karen up there to take care of shit. And you know, I really appreciate Karen for being able to go take care of shit. But it was involving both of our accounts. Like, we had separate accounts.
Yes.
So it was involving both of our accounts. So you know, shit was taking 4 or 5 days to get taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever had to go into the bank for any type of fee or charge to dispute that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, I don't know if it's just me or not, but don't you just feel like they're going to fuck you? Like, I walked in and I knew I was right. I knew I was right. They had already admitted they were wrong to Karen, and this lady was being really nice to me, and I was still being really apprehensive. Because I was like, what are you going to say to me in 5 minutes that is going to completely change the tone of this conversation? Because I come in the bank prepared to fight.
You have to, man. You have to. And on top of that, I have two sides to me. I have like the playful, you know, jovial Karen. Then I have the Karen, I'm whoop your ass. Okay, now it's time to fight, Karen. And the lady wasn't mean, but when I went in there, I had the, okay, bitch, if we got to get ugly up in here, I will get ugly with your ass up in here about my motherfucking money that you stole from me out of my bank account.
Yeah, especially with your fault, man.
Yes. Now, if it was my fault, I'd have took it and kept it pushing. But this shit was your fault. It's my fucking money. Keep your hands off of it.
Yeah, man. So I went up there and the lady was really nice. The other thing I found out is my mom's name is still on my fucking bank account.
It sure is.
Because it was open when I was like 17. So like her name's on there is like the co-signer or something like that. And I'm a man now because I took off the account, man. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Actually, like, I had something like that happen to me where, like, they hit me for probably about, like, I guess I looked at my account, I was, like, 600 in the negative, and it was just, like, I had a moment where, like, you know, my heart stopped for a minute because, you know, like, I was proud of my having, you know, the money I had, and then, like, to go from, like, a certain amount to, like, 600 in the negative, I was, like, I don't even know, like, what I would sell to get this $600 to get this back up.
So
you got that turn and trick.
Yeah, like, so like I go to the bank, you know, I go in like you said, you go in like with this feeling of like, look, you know, it's about to get nasty. Like I go in with the intentions, like if I leave and I haven't thrown a chair, like I fail. So I went in with like this, you know, I went in like the Hulk. I was ready to go. And the lady was actually trying to calm me. You know, I understand. I was like, no, you don't understand. Because I guarantee you, you will be going to your house where you'll probably enjoy some food. You'll like, you know, you have a car with gas in it. Like, all that stuff is now done for me. Like, I have, you know, I don't have any gas in my car. How am I going to get home? And if I do get home, you know, I was going to buy some groceries this week. But now, you know, y'all done toasted me for that. And she's like, well, it's only going to be about 4 or 5 days. I'm like, well, can I just come stay with you? Because you have gas.
Right. And 4 or 5 days is a long time to not have money.
Yeah.
Like, you know how much shit that I realized I need money to do in that 4 or 5 days?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Assets that I'm going to liquidate while I'm waiting for that? What am I going to do? I'm not sitting on TV. It's not going to happen.
Man, it was crazy, dude. But she told me also when I was telling her I need to get my mom off my account because I'm 32. she was like, you know, there was this one guy who had his mom on his account. And he came in here. And he was upset because she had went in and been taking out his money. Like, he was a grown-ass man making regular-ass money. And she was coming into the bank and making withdrawals, like, every day on this nigga's account without him knowing.
Happy Mother's Day. Oh, because his name was on it.
Yeah, Happy Mother's Day, Jay.
For real. Yeah, that's for real.
Oh, I love my mom, but, yeah, we would have a few words.
And there was nothing they can do legally because her name's on the account.
He can't just say, take this bitch name off?
No, she told me the only way to get somebody's name off is they have to die, and you have to bring in a death certificate.
So, word? So I gotta kill my mother?
Yes, you have to kill your mom. That dude was probably like, you know what? That shit sounds good. I'll be right back. He's like, I'll be right back. What time do y'all close?
I'll be back with your business hours.
Yeah, it's 3 o'clock. I got 2 hours to handle this. I'll be right back, ladies. Yeah. But that was just weird, man. I'm glad I'm a man now, so I'm officially grown. Got my own account. Look at me now, mama. I'm shining.
God, 32.
Yeah, I'm 32. I mean, it took me a while to grow up, man. I just friended this chick on Facebook. I got a Facebook request, right? And I don't really know this chick, but, you know, whenever I get a Facebook request, I check it out. I do investigating. I'm CSI, baby. I'm like Horatio over here. So I go click on her name, and I look at the request, and we got 3 mutual friends.
Okay.
And they're all dudes that I play basketball with at the YMCA.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I guess that's my, you know, I guess I'll go ahead and friend her.
Mm-hmm.
The number one post on her page, the latest thing she posted, was a picture that looked familiar. It was a dude that I play basketball with.
Oh.
And I'm not friends with him on Facebook yet, but I know him. I know him from playing ball, right?
Wow.
So I look at the comment under this dude's picture, and it says, this is Brett, and let's say his last name is Jones, right?
That's my last name. Let's not do that to my last name.
No, it's too late.
Yeah, just like, you know, you love Karen Parsons.
Yeah, that just happened. So this is Brett Smith, right? Let's go with Smith since Jones won't work anymore, apparently.
Thank you. Don't besmirch my family name.
So this is Brett Smith. Ladies, beware, this guy is a liar. He will say anything to get what he wants. He can't be trusted, all caps, exclamation points. He's a player, too, and player is capitalized. Even hollered at my friends behind my back. I just think you all should know what kind of guy he is. So when he hits on you, just beware. 3 exclamation points.
Oh.
Right? I know this nigga. Like, it's a white dude, but I'm saying nigga. But anyway, I know this dude. and I was like, wow, I can't believe, what a coincidence, this chick befriended me, and then the first post was hating on this dude that I know. So I went and looked him up, and he's on Facebook, so I befriended him. And then I went and commented on it, and I said, what did he do this time? I always knew he was a jerk. He tried to play me before, too. He cheated during a basketball game, and if you cheat on the court, you will cheat in your heart. And she liked my post. She liked it. And then she went on. Apparently, me and her are the only ones who know about this cheating motherfucker.
I guess so.
She put four more posts up.
Yes, she did. Going in, didn't she?
She said he lied about everything, even little stuff that didn't matter. He went behind my back when we were broken up, but he was trying to get back with me. He was playing both of us. I don't know if she means me and her or
yeah,
what.
Trying to both of the girls.
I don't know. At least she was like my new best friend, and he hates that. He is a cheater and a liar. But guess what? He got played. That dummy had no clue, and he still doesn't. Karma is a B-I-A. He's gonna get his. 3! Then she says, no wonder he doesn't have any friends. He's a liar, and I guess nobody needs a friend like that. I heard he, and then she spelled he wrong, but anyway. I heard he got his ass beat by his close friends in high school, but he never said anything to me about it. Sucks to be him. And I do remember him getting beat up back in the day, but he never really told me what it was about. But I heard it was over some drug stuff and all this, so I felt bad for the dude. Cause you know, we all out here trying to get that paper, and he needed to get that money so he could buy my drinks at the bar. So I ain't really trying to hate on this dude. I'm actually kind of glad this happened because I like being single. And not, I mean, the lady don't protest too much, right? At this point, I have not said anything back to her. This is her third response going in on this.
Oh, yeah, thing. Yeah. When you angry, you can't spell, right? It's like being prime. You can't see. You just like, I'm typing some shit and I'm mad.
She says, I'm actually kind of glad this happened because I like being single and not having to worry about what he's doing or who he's talking to behind my back. He never deserved me to begin with. I don't even know why I ever gave him another chance after he went behind my back before. So,
wow.
Oh, shit. Some people never change. Say that again, Larry. I'm sorry.
That is it. I don't care about you. And that's why I'm dedicating all this time and keystrokes on my fingers for the day. Come on, you obvious.
You know she went to don'tdatemgirl.com right after this shit. Oh, let's see. Some people never change. All he cares about is getting pussy, getting high, playing video games, and shooting pool. Now see, this is a dude I'd like to kick it with, man. If I would have known he was into all this before, we like could have hung out a little bit. And he thinks he's God's gift and never does anything wrong. All I know is I'm getting tested for everything. What? Oh, she's serious.
That's what happens when boxes of wine cost $20.
Everybody, all of her friends can see this.
Yes, this is public knowledge.
This is like, why would you say this? All right, man. I think I'm gonna like this comment, by the way.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. So she says I'm getting tested for everything on Monday because who knows where all that dirty dog's nasty dick has been. I need a shower. And then, you know, I was like, okay, so it's probably over. But no! She says he was a jerk when I knew him and when we were younger. He still is and always will be a jerk. Loser, caps lock.
Don't people know that a shower can't wash certain STDs?
It ain't certain ones. I believe it's all of them. I don't believe there's an STD you can wash off, last I checked. If so, I'm willing to roll the dice a few more times out there. If I hear him take a shower, I can get rid of this here syphilis. You got to move quick.
Gotta hop right off the pussy and into the shower, man. It's the only way.
So cute.
Yeah. Man, but dude, I was laughing so hard reading that shit, man. She was just going in on this dude. And of course I'm gonna go back. But the question I have for you guys is it against bro code, or should I go ahead and hit him up and be like, hey dawg, she is raking your ass through the mud. and give him like a private message on Facebook, or should I just stay out of it and keep making comments and egging the shit on and try to make it more dramatic?
I think, you know, just for comedic sake, you know, Rod, you know the slogan, man, and nothing's wrong if it's funny, dog. So it is your job egging this shit on. Like, you can't. Somebody else could do that, because he's probably already been sold anyways at this point. So, yeah, somebody else could do that, but your personal job is to keep this going as long as possible, because I love to hear about it on the next podcast, hopefully.
Okay, all right, what about you, Jay? What should I do, man? I know you're like the moral compass, because you always, you know, try to, you know, say the right thing. So what's up?
Yeah, I like how you started me off with that. I was actually going to agree with Larry until you called me a moral compass. I mean, honestly, I think old dude is already aware that she is probably unhappy with him. I might be wrong. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's obviously she's got him on blast. I don't think he even cares. Like, if I did someone that dirty and I'm that horrible a person, like, you put me on blast on Facebook to your friends isn't going to be something I'm concerned about. And it's entertaining. Like, if she's actually that far on blast where it's fun to read, I mean, you know, get entertained, man. That's what Facebook is for.
Man, all right, cool, man, because I also got another person on Facebook. And I don't know if we have time to get into this dude, but y'all remember that blog post I wrote about Obama?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody, Lyndon, he friended me on Facebook because he was like, hey, man, check out my these comments that people are leaving on your post. I put it on my page. And, of course, you know, it's like all white people from Kentucky and shit. So the people that did decide to speak up were the most vocal. You know, one person said it was a pity party. Another dude was just going on and on about what he thought I meant and all this stuff. And he friended me because, you know, I commented and was like, well, that's not really what I meant, but, you know, I get that y'all are gonna think whatever. So he friended me and then started sending me private messages about politics for like 3 days.
Wow.
And I tried to change the subject. I was like, man, I'm going to see Thor, man. What movies are you looking forward to? And he named like two political movies, and then he made some type of basketball political analogy and shit. And I was just like, dude, I do not talk about politics this much with anybody. I don't give a fuck. Like, I know I'm not going to change your mind. Like, why are you still talking about this shit?
Well, you know what happened, right?
What happened?
Well, I mean, he probably saw that you were the black guy who tips, and I guarantee you he's recruiting black people for the Republican National Convention, man. He's trying to get some of the GOP.
Well, I gave him Chris's information. I am not the nigga for this shit, man. I just did not want to deal with that, man. I mean, this dude told me he has been on a list emailing his friends about politics since 2004.
What?
Yes, the same people. I said, man, that is way too long to be talking politics with the same people. I wouldn't hardly call, you know, like, he was talking about how black people voting for Obama in a landslide, and it never happened before, so they must be doing it because he's black. And I was like, dude, there was a lot of black people that didn't ever vote before that went out and voted. It wasn't like all the Republican black people turned Democrat. They've been hating niggas for way longer than you can't undo that type of hate. Like, I've heard those black people, man. They got picked on, and they never got over it. So those people did not change. It's just more niggas was like, I'm going to go ahead and vote this time. I think a brother got a chance. But it was just weird because this dude talked to me for like 4 days. Long-ass post, man. Long shit. Like, I was like, dude, I'm not doing this. Like, it's just ridiculous, man. Anyway, man, Facebook is the devil.
And something I would like to say, and I was messing with Jay, but I want to... Adjective J's podcast, he was talking about his love for Karen Parsons.
Right, and the actress.
Yeah, the actress. Yeah. It was funny, though, because when I was listening to it, I started laughing. And I hit him up. I was like, hey, that's my maiden name. You never told me you had this affection for me. So then he started saying that you was going to beat him up. But I told him he ain't had nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I wouldn't beat you up, Jay. It's cool.
Oh, that's good, because this is getting awkward.
Cause I know that actress too, man. You know what I'm saying? She was hot.
Yeah, as long as I get to call Hillary, we're good.
Exactly. One thing about Twitter I noticed too, and you guys are on Twitter, y'all tweet a lot, I know y'all noticed this shit. Is there any holiday that motherfuckers will not ruin? can we just let people be, man? Like, it's Mother's Day, I wake up and niggas is slandering mothers. Mothers!
Well,
who is... Who's against mothers?
Everybody had or has one. You know what I mean? If you don't have one now, you had one. God, yeah, I said that early this morning because I don't sleep late. And I tweeted something like waiting on somebody to bring negativity into my timeline, essentially, because I just know this.
Yes.
I'm like, it's coming. Give it a little bit. I even had Mother's Day jokes that I reserved. I was like, nah, I don't want to sell these, you know, the whole Mother's Day vibe. I had a couple of good ones, too, and I just was like, oh, I'm not going to do it.
Like, can we all not agree on one thing? Mother's Day is good. I get, you know, I kind of understand some of the other holidays. You want to come in and be like, you know, the pagan system of religion is what led to the enslavement of, okay, cool, I get it. Christmas is whack, I get it. Columbus fucked up some Indians, yes. Thanksgiving was the Indians feeding the white people who would later conquer and oppress and kill them and eradicate them. I get that, but fucking Mother's Day? Mothers? Like, even in the black community where you have, like, 70% of children born to single parents, the 70% is fucking women. It's mothers. We all love the moms, man. Who the fuck are these people that were like, yo, shout out to the moms that ain't shit? Just shut the fuck up. Nobody gives a fuck, man. Nobody gives a... And then to make it so bad, I guarantee they mama, the person tweeting that, they mama was cool. Like, it wasn't even like they talking about they mama.
Yeah.
You know, where it's personal, like, my mama ain't shit, so fuck Mother's Day. Like, it's not even that. It's just, fuck the moms, they got pregnant trying to trap a nigga. Oh, man, come on now.
Yeah, today.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, me and Twitter have a real big love-hate relationship. It's great because I find, you know, some real dope people on there, like-minded people. And that's a really great, you know, place to meet these kind of people. And then I hate it because I come on and then I just see, you know, recycled anger and negativity half the time. It's like, am I like this? And when I am, I'm like, all right, let me check myself because I don't want to be like these people exactly. Like, you're my friends or whatever, you know, in that respect, as much as you can be, some more than others. But yeah, man, you give them an opportunity. And you know what the thing is? People can try to front all they want to. They care about the followers. And you get followers, you know, through a few things I've noticed, you know, either fame, or negativity. Or ass and titties. Those are the, like, usually the three biggest, you know, determining factors on whether or not you're gonna get followers. And people care about that. So if you got nothing else, you can just go in there and just, you know, drop kick Mother's Day in the chest right off rip. Like, I'm talking.
Wow.
What you think about it, Jay, man? Was you, seeing any of that negativity today?
So, you know, I was gonna try to be quiet to this. Actually, I had like a tweet this morning where I was saying it jokingly, and because I was seeing people like dog Mother's Day, and I was like, oh, so like, you know, any other day of the month, in 364 days of the month, I can, you know, dog your mom out like Raggedy Ann, but, you know, today you're defensive about it. So, I was just joking about it, but I mean, yeah, like, I don't get, like, there was one dude on my timeline saying, like, if he saw anybody with, like, their mom's, TwitCon, because you know people put their mom's pictures, and which I thought was kind of cool. I was like, oh, look, it's people's moms. He was like, if I see them, I'm going in on them. I'm roasting them, and I'm like, where you gonna roast mothers? Is that what's hot in the streets now? I'm just confused. Like, how can you roast someone's mom? Like, I mean, everybody, like you said, Larry, everybody has a mom. Why are we attacking moms? Right. Can we just have
and
one?
I specifically didn't change my TwitCon to me and my mom because, you know, I would get on a flight and somebody just get a little too reckless talking about my mother. I'm like, I see
you. Yeah.
Like, I know I would get 500 degrees. I was like, nope, not gonna do it. I wouldn't talk about, cause I would never talk about anybody's mom. I never talk about anybody's mom or the old lady. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we cool, out of respect, I'm not gonna talk about your mother, your wife, girlfriend, whatever your significant other is. That's just to me, you know, let's draw a line. But,
now Larry, are you originally from the South?
Yeah,
that's that mama thing, man. We don't play that shit down here.
At all.
Y'all can do that shit in New York. They be going in on each other's moms.
And they be like, I don't give a fuck about my mama. She a whore. And you be like, dude, what is wrong with
you? The only time that I've ever officially just completely whooped a nigga's ass beyond repair was because he was going in on my mama. That was the only time. Like, every other time, I've relented. You know what I'm saying? When I had the advantage and I said, no, I could do you in, but I'm going to let this shit ride. But that nigga went in on my mom, man. I lost it for a little bit, man. I lost it. So I know that down south thing, man. It's got to be something about down south. Because like Larry said, we'll catch the flight, man. That ticket pays for itself in blood.
Like, how'd I get this excluded out of the southern thing? I mean, you know.
Well, you're from, where are you from, Jay?
I'm from Huntsville, Alabama, man. Like,
you're originally
here. Yeah, like, I still live here. I haven't left. I know I don't have the accent, but, I mean,
you don't have the accent.
Yeah, I was born and raised, and I still am in Huntsville, Alabama right now.
Well, when you was talking about dropping that mother slander, though, I just assumed with the accent that you was like,
like it's one of those things where it was satire. I was just throwing it out there, just being funny, and I didn't slander anyone's mom. I won't do that, but you know, joking.
Do not know that he's from the South. Nobody goes and moves to Huntsville, Alabama. You're born crazy. You leave, you know.
It's a black hole. You try to get out.
I left Savannah. I left Savannah for like 8 years, and then I ended up back here. I'm on my mission again to leave again. But yeah, I've been through Alabama. Alabama's like a time warp. Like you,
Jay, you're in school, right?
That shit plays.
Jay, you're in school, right?
Yeah, I'm in college.
Yeah, see, I thought you might have just been down there for school. I just assumed. It's all my fault for assuming.
No way anybody would come here for school. I mean, I take the bad people do, but nah, I'm this in the city, but like I said, I was born here. I love it here, and it's gonna hurt when I walk away. But, you know, it's just, this is where I was raised, and I stayed for school.
Now, have either one of y'all ever dated a crazy chick?
Yes.
Okay, cause you know how they say stuff.
Yes, affirmatively.
Those who know, Larry. Those who know.
Yeah, I'm crazy. I was told, we did a show recently and they said I was the crazy one. So I was like, I guess I can't say that.
Well, so you never dated a crazy chick, you mean?
I think I have, but all the girls were saying, because they were doing a show about crazy exes, and I was like, I don't have no crazy exes. And they was like, well, then you the crazy one. And I was like, oh, shit. Whoops.
Well, I mean, if you never dated a crazy chick, that's nothing, you know, that's actually not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
You just might have good judgment.
Yeah, you recognize shit early as all, because we all run into them, but some people pick it up right away and move on, and some people go, I need to get my dick wet. Now, Jay, you know how they always say crazy loves hard?
Oh, yeah.
Which is a euphemism for crazy has good sex. They fuck good. I was thinking, like, this lady, she wrote us and she was telling us how there was a guy who had a chick who was crazy. She jumped over the fence to his house, walked into while he was sleeping. I guess he was half passed out on NyQuil, like broke into the sliding door on the back patio. And when he woke up, she was riding on top of him. You know, like all she had on was like a trench coat or some shit. And I was thinking, you know, if that's crazy loving hard, I think I just want to be love medium. You know what I'm saying? I'm just
love soft.
I'm not that special. I think I'm cool with medium loving, and I actually will sacrifice. I will sacrifice blow your mind sex for medium but not crazy. What about y'all, man? Jay, would you go back to crazy? Was the loving that good?
Nah. And actually, I heard that show, and I was just thinking, like, he pretty much had, like, a spider woman. Like, she had to break into it. Like, it's just ridiculous that she broke in, and he woke up and was okay with this. And, I mean, I guess there was a lot that, like, you know, raised question marks in my head. Like, why was he strung out on NyQuil? But, I mean, it was just, there's a lot of stuff going on in that. And I just don't understand why a dude would be so... I guess be so into that, because I mean, what happens is that, like, there's one time when you wake up and yeah, she's on top of you and she's riding you, and there's another time you wake up and she got a knife looking at, you know, parts of you, and it's
that's right.
It's, you got to roll it. I'm not
sure. She probably still riding you though.
I mean, I'm
saying. Watch you slicing your face off.
You know, you got to balance the scales there. That's some shit you got to think about. Like,
I don't know if I'm ready to roll them dice, man. Like, that's, like, you don't want to wake up, you know, and, like, pretty much, like, she's just sitting there with a knife, you know, getting ready to do you in. Of course, still getting that last one in. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. Like, I don't want to die like that. Like, that's not how I'm trying to go out.
Now, you say you got rid of the crazy chick after you started listening to our show, right?
No, actually, like, that was a little bit back. I got rid of her, essentially. It's really weird how I did it. I just went crazy myself, just trying to deal with it, because everything turned into an argument, everything turned into a fight, And so, like, I just got just miserable in the relationship. So I just started acting like a miserable man. Like, I was just like, you know, I'm done with this. And, you know, she called me and I just wouldn't pick up. And I mean, I pretty much just went into hiding. And she found some other dude and was like, well, you know, I just want to tell you that I'm with someone else. And I mean, like, I had to do everything I could to keep from just fist pumping and celebrating when she told me that. I tried to look a little sad so she didn't think that, you know, she was getting over it. So she wouldn't think I thought I was getting over it. And then she left with old dude. And I guess he's still with her. Last I heard, like, you know, they got like 4 or 5 kids and, you know, she's still keying cars and doing nonsense. So.
Shit. Wow.
Yeah. No, it's great for me. No, that's not, don't feel bad for him. Feel good for me. This is good for me.
I feel you, dog. I feel you. You guys ever listen to NPR at all? In the car, on the radio?
Yeah.
What?
NPR is the National Public Radio. It's like the sensible news, the sensible commentary on politics and things of that nature.
I get all my news from World Star Hip Hop. if it don't come on the Black Ops 2 Fox, all you know what news I know about? People wilding out with samurai swords, like that's all the news. Like all I know is sports and niggas with samurai swords and women, you know, like biting and people's genitalia off, shit like that. But anyway,
we do this for the people.
How do you leave the house, Larry? Like how do you not just stay inside the entire time?
I pretty much go to work and come home. Like for my, I've slowed down quite a bit. I don't need nothing else to be podcast. That's it. I told you, podcast die. I hate the anyway.
Well, I listen to NPR every once in a while. They actually have some good podcasts that I check out every once in a while when I want to get some political information from, you know, not such a biased point of view. But why do they talk at a different level than other stations? Like, it sounds like the news channel for people who are victims of emotional abuse. It's like they just don't want to scare you. Like, they never get above, just above normal conversation level, no matter how inflammatory what they're talking about
is. And they can even be angry. And angry is like a, oh snap, but it's kind of almost like a, it's not even a scary old snap. We was just at the left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And the dude was like, well, I don't agree with you, but I know one thing. It's about to get ugly. Right. And I was like, damn, the tone of your voice didn't change, nigga.
Right.
This is not a fight to me.
Like, they can say anything on there as long as they don't raise their voice. Like he really was like, well, I am completely insulted, and I do not give in to that notion. And you're just like, why are y'all mad at each other or not?
Yes. Are we about to kiss and make up? I don't understand this.
It's like they do the news for dogs that used to be beaten by their owners, you know? Like, we don't want to raise any eyebrows. People might get pissed listening to this. The other thing that happened today, we were in GameStop. Shout out to GameStop. And we heard a pregnancy announcement in GameStop.
Yes, it was hilarious. The dude was like on the phone. He was like, yeah, bro. He was like, you know that girl in Fayetteville? He said, yeah, you know the one. She been blowing my phone up for 3 days, dawg. Yeah, she was blowing my phone up for 3 days, and she told me to leave you a message. Yeah, and the message is she pregnant, dawg. You better call her. I thought, well, damn, everybody in here know the bitch is pregnant, and Nobody know who the hell she is.
She's not exaggerating. That's exactly what happened.
Yes.
Like, it was so funny. He was just like, I got some bad news. She pregnant, dog.
And the whole game stopped. I was like, oh shit, he ain't trying to whisper. He ain't kidding.
That is not how I want to find out. And then this motherfucker had the nerve to hang out in GameStop with him and four of his boys. Like, for like another 30 minutes. And like, all the dudes in the crew had to have heard that shit.
Yes.
I mean, you're already there. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're there now. I mean, it might as well grab a couple games. You're going to need them after the next couple nine months.
And he bought a PlayStation 3.
Word.
Yeah.
Now is that a homeboy Hall of Fame moment that he looked out for you, or is that one of them like, nigga, keep this on the low? I don't want people. I don't want this getting around. What do y'all think?
I don't know. That's a tough call. I don't think everybody in GameStop need to know that. Honestly, so
It was a surprise to us too. Me and Roger looked at each other like, damn, she pregnant?
Yeah, I wanted to pick up the phone and go, congratulations! Just heard you're a new father. Oh, who is this? Just some nigga in GameStop that was minding his own business.
Yeah.
Your boy is out here telling everybody on these streets. He gonna put it on Facebook next?
I guess so.
He gonna send a public status and tag him to it. Hey, dawg, your girl out here tripping, man. Remember the girl in Fayetteville? She pregnant, dawg. Some bad news.
It's gonna be at the Four Corners. It's gonna have a GameStop location.
Yeah, let me tag you. Let me go ahead and check in the places and tag your girlfriend to this.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah,
that was, it was terrible.
Not the most subtle way to find
and
out.
And they was not black for those out there.
Yeah, they was like Mexican or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm tired of spontaneous solicitation to donate to things when I'm out doing other shit.
Yes.
And what I mean is like, okay, I went to the store today, right? I had to buy some, I just need to buy some quick groceries and come right back to the house, right? And I was going to get some delicious grapes and some Granny Smith apples, my favorite kind of apples. And I go to check out and then, you know, no slander to Adjective J, but this dude was like, would you like to donate to the victims of the Alabama tornadoes? And I was like, no. And then I was like, damn, cashier. You know what I'm saying? Now, every time I bite one of these delicious grapes, I'm going to get a twinge of guilt because I did not help Adjective J out. I mean, I spread the word about his podcast, but I didn't actually give him some money. And there was no, like, amount. Like, he didn't say, would you like to help us out? Here's a dollar, you know, coupon. He just was like, would you like to help just in general? Like, I guess I'd like to help. What does that mean? Are we driving down there? Who getting in the car? Like, do I need to start a posse? Do we need to round people up? Like, what the fuck is the next step, man? I felt so bad, man, because I decided not to donate to the victims, man.
You know what? I'm gonna try to make you feel a little bit better, and I'm gonna say, like, I live here, and like, it's been like a nonstop effort to try to like get people to volunteer to get money from people, and like, I don't mind being asked to volunteer because, you know, I'm here, so I don't mind going to go help someone clean up their house. But like, they've been asking people for money, and you know, I just had a moment where it's like, what do you think I was doing? You know, when I guess all the tornadoes hit, like, it's not like I don't have money, but you know, a lot of my money went towards supplies. You know, I threw out about, well, of course I didn't throw out all the stuff in my freezer. I did eat some of the stuff in my freezer, but I threw out, I think we lost like maybe about $400 of stuff in our freezer. And it was like, you know, hey, I think any money I have, if I keep it, that, you know, I'm donating to the best charity ever, which is me. I mean, it sounds really self-centered, but, you know, at the time, you know, I was thinking I need to eat. So don't feel bad because I have not donated to any of these charities, even though I live here.
And my thing is that, how do you know they legit? That's my big
Well,
thing.
It was from the store. It wasn't a random dude.
Okay.
Like, the cashier just hit me randomly. Like, I know you got it, nigga. Anyway, you what up with some money for these other people that need help? And I was like, I'm good, bro.
And you know what? And maybe this is just me and not slandering those stores. A lot of times it's the white stores that do this. The black stores, they just bring your shit up and get you out the door. The white stores, they're like, look, we know our shit overpriced. Poop, would you like to donate a dollar, poop, to this donation? Because, you know, like, right. You give. Not that black people don't, but I just realize there's a difference.
I'm with you. I always end up being a sucker for that shit, though. I'm right there at the cashier, and it's always like a dollar. Like, would you like to give a dollar to these starving fucking kids? Look at this motherfucker. Look at him. Look at him. You sure you can't spare a dollar, big man? One fucking dollar? You're buying sushi and beer, and you're telling me you can't spare a dollar? You know what I mean?
It's like, It's like three.
I didn't come here to save no kids. I came here to eat delicious sushi and fucking cherry blossom beer and shit like that. I didn't come here for this shit. I hate that. I know what you mean, but I always do it though.
And it's like three hot models behind you in line and shit. Just making it worse, you know what I'm saying? You're like, what is the 1999 crew from Destiny's Child doing here? Like, why are y'all even behind me in line?
Don't let the chick be cute, cause then I wanna go like the next level, you know, like they have like like the leaves or whatever, I think it's for the muscular
dystrophy.
Like, instead of getting the regular dollar one that's green, I'm like, oh, is she cute? I go $5, let's get the gold leaf. I bought $5 clover and I still ain't getting no numbers, so you know what I mean? I really played myself on that one.
But, right. Yeah. I blame Adjective J for this shit though, cause I think the reason that I didn't give is because I knew that he was living the life, eating chicken and shit, grilling every day.
Okay.
You
know what? He was down there tweeting shit.
All right. No, you know what, though? The thing, though, is that, like, the where I was did not get hit that bad. So you're right. I was down there. You know, it wasn't that bad. The worst thing was, like, there was no power. So, I mean, you know, and actually, it was just an excuse to barbecue. And, of course, you know, I'm black. I love excuses to barbecue. So, like, I was like, great. You know, I get the barbecue chicken. I'm over here tweeting. I got, like, a car charger. I'm good. And actually, like I said on my podcast, I drove through some areas that actually were hit kind of hard. And I guess I hate to be the one who gets serious, but like it was really bad. It's like, you know, whole houses got destroyed. So I mean, I should have like just been real quiet the entire thing and just kind of like played it up. Like maybe I should have sent some pictures of me like starving and I like yeah. like laying on the ground, passed out. I should have sent that. And that
yeah,
was
like, man, yeah. You know. It's your fault. Like, imagine how many of Jay's followers got asked to donate and went, man, this nigga's eating chicken and tweeting. I think he's gonna be okay, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he might have messed it up for all the donations. Alright, man. Let's get into some stories. We got some news articles here. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna copy and paste and put the links in Skype, but I ask you guys not to comment if you read ahead. Like, just comment as we get to the point of the story. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm trying to... Some of the stories be having twists and shit, and I don't need people to be like, oh, so he was a transsexual? You're like, damn, that was the whole point of reading the story.
Yes.
All right, man.
I thought you kept so, that time, Will good to get to the point. You're like, damn it, Will. The fucking punchline. I'm getting there. You son of a bitch.
Will and Justin, man, I tried to save money by not printing this shit out, but as soon as I pop it up on the screen, they just start reading the shit. I'm like, what are y'all doing? You're like, oh man, that's crazy. I can't believe Kobe did that. You're like, dog, that is, nobody knows but us in the room. Stop fucking it up for radio.
and maybe I'm just too lazy to read, cause it's funny. When I read it, I'd be actually surprised. I don't read this shit in advance. I'd be like, where am I reading?
Alright, man, so, this prison chaplain was accused of smuggling drugs, and he claims he was being blackmailed over porn.
Oh.
William Emerson used to be a deacon for, oddly enough, St. William Church in Tewksbury, Massachusetts. Anyway, never heard of that place. Until Boston Archdiocese suspended him. He also served as a chaplain for the Middlesex House of Corrections until they fired him at the beginning of March. On May 5th, William Emerson stood in the Lowell District Court at his arraignment, charged for smuggling drugs to inmates. Of course, he was all surprised. Of course, this was all surprises to people who knew him. Of course, everybody always does that, right? Oh, this dude got accused of this. Oh my God! I can't believe it. He's like, you know, nobody ever believes shit. Anyway, they all knew Deacon Bill, including the parishioners and a former selectman in Tewksbury, Joe Gill, with whom Emerson had worked on drug prevention programs.
Wow.
He's fucking hypocrites, man. You know you vote Republican, too.
Of course.
Knowing Bill, knowing what he stood for, it's not him. Nah,
I don't excuse him from doing shit.
It's him. Look at this motherfucker. It's him. like what? Somebody framed this motherfucker as the warden or the chaplain sneaking in drugs? It couldn't have been Bill. He wouldn't have knowingly snuck in drugs to the inmates at his job. You know what I'm saying? Who else had the time and the opportunity and the mother? He claims that he didn't know that the envelopes, which he was caught on tape delivering.
Wow.
So they got you on tape, dog, still in boxes. You can't dispute that. You can't dispute that, man. So he didn't know that it was apparently containing the opium ingredient suboxone.
Thank you, because I was like, "Ooh, what's that?"
Yeah, opioid is what they say. He also claims that he only did so because he was being blackmailed by inmate / friend. Come on, son. You work at the jail, and an inmate is also your friend. Come on, man. That ain't like meeting your boy in the coffee room and being like, hey, dog, you want to go watch the game?
Nah, and my thing, the way that sounds like he probably must have had sex with a dude or something. Like, he knows something.
Like, how do you have a friend with an inmate? Like, at your job, that's like, that would be like teachers actually hanging out with students.
Oh, no.
You're not supposed to do that. You're a chaplain, and plus he's in prison. What can y'all do together to be friends?
I was going to say, what kind of hangouts do y'all have?
Right.
I guess they're lifting weights, you know.
this dude has not touched a weight in
Oh, yeah, I just saw that picture. Wow. Never mind. No, he's not lifting any. He might be spotting them.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
yeah. It's chicken.
So basically, he said he was blackmailed by Sean O'Connor over his pornography collection. Yes, the Chaplin pornography collection.
Yes, and it must be gay or something. For real, for him to want to say, I just don't want to be told. Come on.
Apparently, the two have known each other since 2004 when O'Connor was an inmate.
Excuse me?
At some point, Emerson. Emerson is the Chaplin. But O'Connor was in, like, at some point when O'Connor wasn't in jail, he asked the chaplain for a place to stay. It was there that he discovered completely legal adult pornography on Emerson's home computer. I like how they go through, like, to point out that it was legal.
Yes.
It was at this point Emerson apparently said, I'm sorry, please don't tell. What can I do to make it up?
What? You mean tell me, are you going to jail because you didn't want to tell people you fucking watch porn?
Man.
What's wrong with people?
Religion shit is deep, man. But yeah, you should have just came up and told homeboy, you know, what the deal was.
If you tell it, who cares?
Now, if you guys, you know, somebody threatened to expose to the world that y'all were watching porn, would you guys, you know, let somebody blackmail you?
Man. No.
I mean, who's everybody, this is my motto when it comes to exposing, quote unquote, exposing Larian. Either it's true and I don't give a fuck, or it's a lie and I don't give a fuck. That's it. You can't blackmail me. I did it. If I did it, I did it. If I didn't, I didn't. That's it. I damn sure ain't bringing no dope in and going to prison for you because you're going to tell everybody I watch porn. Yeah, well.
What about you, Jay?
I'm saying it's like, I'm looking at it saying it's completely legal. So like, where's the issue? I mean, this is, if you're, I guess he's thinking about people in his church, but I mean, if you're watching completely legal porn, like, how is that a bad thing? There's so much more worse things you can do. Like, for instance, smuggle drugs into jail. Like, I mean, I think that's far worse. So, I mean, like, exactly. How are you thinking that this is better? Like, if anything, just come out and be like, look, you know, I got some porn on my computer. I'm sorry I'm disappointing y'all, but here we are. Like, you know, I got some porn. I'm with Larry. Like, if it's true, then hey, I did it, and I don't care who knows. And if it's not true, then hey, say all you want to. I didn't do it. I just don't see how he let himself get put into like that kind of situation.
The other question, of course, is do you believe it? Do y'all think that that's what happened? That he was only smuggling drugs because he got caught with porn and he didn't want people to know?
Nah, I don't believe that at all.
I think it was more to it, and I really don't think it was just regular porn. I think it had to be homosexual porn or something.
So you
like
really
that.
Do believe the story that it's some type of porn anyway?
Yeah, I think it's porn, and which I don't think he had problems.
And you think he got blackmailed into delivering drugs because of the porn?
Yes, and the bigger reason why, because for some people, when it comes to their religion and keeping their face clean, some of the people do anything necessary to keep their names clean and their image clean in other people's eyes versus just accepting whatever it is they do. And like I said, I think it was probably gay porn and he didn't want nobody to find out he was gay or something like that.
Do you guys believe him?
No. And I think like the key here is that it's completely legal adult pornography on his home computer. I mean, you could easily say, well, he was in my house, he loaded it on my computer and he tried to blackmail me with it. And he didn't say that. He just says that he had it and that he was apologizing for it. That's the worst blackmail ever. Like, I mean, I just don't get that. And it just seems to me like I think it's not even that complicated. I think, you know, he was his friend. His friend was like, hey man, can you get me some Suboxone or whatever it is? And he was like, yeah, I got you. And he rolled in and got caught and he started making up a story to try to make up for the fact that he's smuggling drugs.
Yeah, I ain't gotta be as, go ahead, Larry.
No, I was gonna say real quick, like, if any of it's true, I think it would be, what Karen said, cause they do say legal, don't they? Yeah, so gay porn's still legal.
Right.
That would be, I could see a church parishioner type dude, like, yeah, bugging out about that, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't want nobody to know this.
Right. I mean, and what is the dude gonna do? Just run out your house? Hey, everybody! Parishioners got gay porn! What?
You know, like, cause he is in prison, like, who exactly?
The inmate said it. It must be true. Man, this motherfucker was slanging. I don't believe that shit. I think he's straight up lying and he was slinging and he wanted a cover story and that's the worst cover story in the world. At least there would be proof that he was getting blackmailed or something, man. It'd be better than that. I mean, if the dude was already going to prison back and forth, then he couldn't have been that fucking smart. Alright, man. So, mother-in-law, because it's Mother's Day, discussed the perfect murder before a target shooting.
Oh.
A former friend recounted on the witness stand Friday how Joanna Hayes, on trial in the fatal shooting of her daughter-in-law, once described the way she would go about committing the perfect murder. Paul Penzino, 22, said the conversation took place while he and Hayes were delivering flowers on Valentine's Day in 2008. The two were working at Hayes' daughter-in-law's floral design company.
Wow.
So the daughter-in-law gave her mother-in-law a job. They were working together. She was working with Paul, this dude that she, you know, was a co-worker delivering flowers, and she told him how she would commit the perfect murder. It was a little strange, yes, but we were just talking, Penzino said, adding, I didn't think anything about it. Now, you guys have jobs sometimes, right?
Unfortunately, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a discussion on your job about plans to murder your boss and how you would do it and went, there's nothing to that?
No.
Probably not. Probably just goofing off.
And we talk about a lot of shit. I tell people all the time, like, you would be shocked and amazed about the stuff we talk about. And you really made me think, like, yeah, have we ever talked about killing the boss? I'm like, nah. We talked about pretty much everything else, but nah, that one ain't come up yet.
That's a little too far. What about you, Jace?
Fighting the boss, but nothing like that.
Yeah, what about you, Jace?
No, that's a bit much. Like, I guess it's one of those things, like, I'm trying to think now, I'm kind of like Larry, and I'm going back trying to think if I ever talked about just killing my boss, and I know what premeditated murder is, as opposed to just, you know, accidental, so nah, I've never talked about it.
Karen, you say you talked about fighting your boss at work?
Not me, per se, but people just talk in general, and it's just amazing just to hear people talk when they get angry and upset and things like that.
What? See, I don't think I've been in... Say that again, Larry. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I have talked about whooping my boss ass.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even think that I've seen, well, not since I had a professional job anyway, but I don't think I've seen too much of even that. Like, even that's a little over the line, because if that gets back to HR, you could be done on these work streets, dog.
Yeah.
Like, your name is dirt in these cubicles talking about kicking people's ass at work.
Exactly, that's true. I was just about to say, see, I'm blue collar. So, I mean, I work with a bunch of, you know, tattooed, I wear a t-shirt to work, you know what I mean? I mean, it's a navy blue t-shirt, and I have to tuck it in now due to the rules, but yes, you know, the environment's just different. Like, it's just a lot more blue. And my boss is like, he used to play basketball, and he's like 6'6" or some shit like that, you know. He ain't no little dude. Ain't nobody concerned about his safety if I want to whoop his ass.
They just like,
we kick each other ass.
They just like, I hope he don't kill you, Larry. Good luck. So it said the next time that Penzino thought of it was more than a year later, after Hayes' daughter-in-law, Heather Strube, was gunned down in April 26, 2009. Someone wearing a wig and a fake mustache shot the young mother in front of her 18-month-old son in a Target parking lot in Snailville.
Damn.
Snoob had met her estranged husband, Stephen Strube, there to exchange custody of their son. Stephen Strube is not charged in the slaying. Witnesses saw him drive away before the shooter walked up. So I guess he had picked up his... So wait a minute. Why would he drive away before the shooter walked up? I mean, did he already pick up his son or not? Because it said she was shot in front of her son. Oh, he was dropping the son off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he dropped his son off. And then, like, this chick got shot.
Yes.
According to Penzino, Hayes said she would act alone. However, she would give a credit card to an unwitting accomplice like her husband or son and ask them to buy something to establish her alibi. Penzino said Hayes told her she would use a handgun bought from a day laborer. why do these white people always have to include one racist detail in all their crimes?
Are they called Mexican? What's a day laborer?
Yeah, it's like somebody that doesn't have like a citizenship in America. They're working under the table for cash, like standing in front of Home Depot or something like that.
Okay.
People pick them up to do home projects and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they don't have to actually file anything or pay people too much money.
Okay.
So she was basically like, I'll buy a gun from a Mexican And then I'm gonna go, she said Hayes worked in construction and knew it was common to find firearms on work sites. She had already purchased 3 guns that way.
Wow. Damn.
She also reportedly said she would use power tools to grind down or melt the weapon before tossing it into a lake. She really thought about this shit.
Yeah, I like where she's going, you know.
She's giving a lot of details at work though, man. Yeah. Like how you go? Was the idea just too good? Was she just like, ooh, I gotta tell somebody. Like, yeah, I gotta tell somebody.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say she was good money and she just shouldn't have fucking told nobody. I'm like, okay, you think, you know, I like where you're going here. Yeah. But that's the problem with criminals, man. You see this time and time again, they're fucking stupid.
I just wonder what the dude she was telling this to was thinking. Like this is so detailed that, like, you know, it's like if you're joking around about it, like, oh, you know, I would, yeah, there's nothing funny about this at all. Like, if this is this is him saying, according to him, she said she'd do all these things. Like, at some point, he had to realize that this is no longer a joke, but this is a very detailed plan to kill someone, and you should be concerned.
Yeah.
She looks off, man. Let's see, she says, Hayes and her husband owned 3 vehicles, a lime green minivan, a silver Dodge truck with a dented tailgate, and a white Ford F-150 pickup truck. Hayes ruled out the minivan and dented the Dodge because they were too easily noticeable, Penzino said. So basically he said she had already thought which car she'd drive to do the murder.
Damn.
Yeah. Some of Hayes' made up plot sounded familiar to investigators. Witnesses saw a white Ford F-150 pickup truck in a motel parking lot behind the Target on the day Struve was killed. The gun used in the slaying was never found. Defense attorney Bruce Morris pointed out the conversation happened more than a year before the slaying when Hayes and her daughter-in-law were getting along. He also asked if Hayes said she would use the Ford truck, and Penzino said she only talked about using something common that wouldn't stand out. So, I mean, here's the thing. If she didn't do it, you really should not have been talking about doing it, for one.
Say that again.
But two, if you did do it, like, damn, why the fuck were you telling people?
I mean, it goes back to what Jeff said. Like, how you listen to this much detail? And then, like, I kind of blame this dude. He should have been told something before that chick got killed, man. How you gonna listen to all this?
They're saying, well, they were getting along at the time. What the fuck that got to do with anything? If somebody's calculating your murder, there's a good chance they're not gonna be walking around talking about, yo, I'm gonna kill that bitch all the time. You know, if they thinking about this shit a year in advance, of course they're gonna be friendly to you up until that point. That's not a good detail at all. So apparently Pirate, quote unquote, may have been suicidal. A 38-year-old Omaha man who dressed as a pirate and armed himself with a sword. God damn. Every show.
This is all the news I know.
He was drinking and it's like they say, man, guns don't kill people. People with swords kill people, man. It's 100% right, man. It's 100% right. So he was drinking and apparently suicidal when he made the 911 call that brought police to his house. Jonathan F. Martis' mother said that her son told police he wanted to die. Martis was shot by police while wielding a sword. Ruth Martis said she was told that her son was upset when he woke up Friday and realized he had survived the shooting.
Wow.
So he wanted to suicide by cop and he got shot and he lived.
Damn.
Oh, he was pissed.
Police arrived at 6:30 on Thursday. Martis reported, after he reported a disturbance in his home, they give the address. Martis was armed with a 3-foot-long sword. That's a long-ass sword.
Yes,
son.
That is.
Officers commanded him to drop the sword, police said, but he refused and advanced on them. Wow, he really did think it was bleach.
Yes, he did.
Nigga tried to catch his bullets with his teeth. Like, you must have thought he was on some ninja shit. Police said Friday that Martis was yelling for officers to shoot him, lowered his sword, pointed towards officers as he got closer. Officer Troy Hiller first used a taser and had no apparent effect.
What's this nigga, huh?
So he actually tried to use the official weapon of the podcast to save this man's life.
Either he was high or he had something to prevent himself from being shot.
I think what we're realizing now is that swords are getting too ratchet. They're getting more ratchet and more ratchet. Like, it's the middle of the day. That was the last one. Remember, the last one was in the middle of the day?
Yeah.
Skateboarding through the mall with a sword.
They're breaking all the rules.
Now
it's waiting till after midnight. We ain't getting no 2, 3 a.m.
Mm-mm. They're resisting tasing. Like, the sword shit has got to stop. There is no sword utopia. This is nothing that's going to lead to just more and more ratchetness, and we got to stop. We got to start confiscating these swords. Where? I mean, I know we got an NRA, but that can't be like an NSA, right? There's no, well, that was already taken. NSA is already taken, so we actually don't have any way for sword people to organize. We need to nip it in the bud before they get together.
Like, I don't know how comfortable I feel with the idea of sword people organizing. Like, the best part, I guess, about the sword utopia is that no one knows really how to use a sword. Like, you're completely safe if someone has a sword and they come towards you. As you see, like, all these times people with swords, you know, they look dangerous and they wield them, but look how quick they get dropped.
If you have a gun, because apparently a taser had no effect.
I think he might have been high, though. He had to be high on something.
Yes.
Well, all I know is high people with guns can't see straight. High people with swords, you got to shoot them with the taser and shoot them with the guns. It's out of control, man. So anyway, man, I ain't reading the rest of this shit. I don't want to give them no more props.
You know, there's one thing, though, I just want to point out that I guess is interesting about this. The police only shot him once. I mean, damn it, is it not nice to be white? Shot him one time. I saw that. I'm thinking, like, you know, if I advance on some officers with a sword, I'm getting laid out. Like, and that's why he survived, because he was white. The police were like, look, we don't need to waste our bullets on a white man. We got some niggas to shoot. And they just shot him one.
Yeah. He's like, I'm saving these bullets for a special occasion. I'm hoping to pull Larian over and give him a DUI and get some of these bullets out.
Yeah.
He's on a .09. Where my gun?
Down.
Yeah. So here's
like, wait a minute, dude. Like, you supposed to shoot people for DUIs now?
Like, there's just one dude. There's just one cop in the crew that's like, can I shoot him? You know, like looks like we got another one for a DUI. Let's give him the test. Can I shoot him? All right, calm down, John. All right, man. So this teen asked for more jail time with his stepdad. Only in Canada. This teen criminal asked to be sentenced to more than 6 months, more than the 6 months recommended by his lawyer and the Crown, so he could spend extra time with his cellmate, his stepfather.
His stepdad got life or something?
I don't know. Defense lawyer of Justin Beenan, sorry, I'm going to say Beaver. Justin Beenan, 18, and an assistant Crown attorney were asking a Sudbury jury Thursday for a 6 month term for a string of convictions. But Beenan wanted more time in jail so he could spend it with his cellmate and stepfather, John Hastings. Beenan explained to the Ontario court, Justice Norman Gloud, that he has nowhere to stay when he gets out of jail until Hastings was released in October.
Wow.
So he's like, if y'all release me, I'll just be out on the street. So why don't y'all just let me stay with my cellmate, my stepfather, for a couple extra months?
Because that's my tax dollars, that's why. No. No. Nigga, you got to go buy your own place.
Nah. You know you had to be a little white kid. Yo, if you do it like a thug, man, like you know what I'm saying? In Canada, if you want to spend more time in jail, bust a nigga in the head. You'll stay in there longer. What kind of fuck ass
May I have more time, please, Your Honor?
Yeah.
I'd like another 3 months, please, sir.
Thank you, just being black.
But going to lunch, bust a nigga in the head with one of them metal trays, I promise you, you're going to stay a little bit longer than your original plans.
Now, see, here's the catch to this, man, right? So what he wants to do is he wants to stay in jail just long enough for his stepfather to get out, and he wants to be released before his stepfather gets out or at the same time. He doesn't want to stay like even a day longer than the stepfather. So like this nigga is making crazy requests.
Oh my god, you got to be kidding me. Like, does he not understand how jail works?
Right, like
failed accommodation or some shit. Like, he just went to the front desk. Yeah, I'm gonna be staying just a little bit longer than originally planned.
Think this is a Holiday Inn?
Yeah.
You know, at the taxpayers' cost, we're gonna extend this stay.
You think he also was complaining about like the pay-per-view movies and stuff? He's like, I didn't see anything on the pay-per-view that I liked. When will you guys be getting some new movies?
Yeah, what do I file a formal complaint?
Yes.
No, this nigga had to be a rapper, man. Had to be. Like, they gonna make like a DVD of him and his stepdad stepping out and like girls being in a limo, and they're gonna put like minks on his shoulders. Gotta be. Why else would you give him with your stepdad? Like, what is he significant about that?
No, because family time is the most important time, Larry. I can't believe you're talking on, like, this is a family moment. You have a chance to bond in jail. And his stepfather may have not, you know, they could have had an argument. They could have been, like, beefing. And now he can't get away from them. They have time to talk things out and to make a new start.
Yeah, nobody respects Father's Day. You know, you're right, Jay.
Man, I think I know people that might actually, and I'm not even exaggerating, that might actually think like this. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, you just, this whole story made me go back. Like, y'all be surprised some of the places I've been. I have been in some of the lowest of the low. So this just made me think about my times back in the trailer park in my younger days. Not even that long ago, actually. But, yeah. I've met these people. Never mind. This whole story makes sense to me now.
He's like, hey, this might be the most time he's ever spent with a male role model. So, it says here, being in pleaded guilty Thursday to two counts of breach of probation, dangerous driving, failing to stop for police, theft of a vehicle, possession of marijuana for the purpose of trafficking, and driving without a license.
Wow.
He was spotted by police April 4th driving at high speeds. Man, why do people speed when they know they are riding dirty? You know what I mean? Like, you know you riding dirty, son.
I'm going under the speed limit.
Yeah, you have intent to traffic in your trunk, and you sitting up here like, yo, man, I still can't stop for these stoplights, though, son. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta get there on time, man. You know what I'm saying? The game comes on at 8. Like, it's just ridiculous, man. He hit a no parking sign and three parked vehicles before finally stopping.
In front of the no parking sign.
Yeah, probably at the police station, you know, 20 feet from a hydrant. You know, like, this nigga wanted to get caught.
Yes, he did.
So they found 17 grams of marijuana, a knife, 6 cans of beer inside a vehicle, which had been stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it was stolen. Beanie was on probation at the time and prohibited from having knives. But that's some super duper probation up there, y'all. Word. These niggas can't even have a knife.
I just see him with the steak looking disappointed.
But yeah, like, what? You can't have a knife? Like, I would, like, hey, man, hey, dog, can you put some mayonnaise on this sandwich for me? I would love to do it, man, but, you know, the spoon ain't the same, and then, you know, like, I can't have a knife, my probation. Yeah.
Hey, dog, cut that steak up for me before you leave, waiter.
Yeah, all right, man, let's do this other article. Do something positive.
Wait.
Because, you know what?
Yeah. Oh, before you move on.
I think Larry saw the same thing I saw.
You might,
oh, go ahead.
There's one more thing you got to say about this I just read.
About his mom?
Nah, I ain't even see that. Hold on.
Yeah, his mom's a drug addict, and his biological father was shot and killed when he was a child.
That's depressing.
Yeah.
Nah, that's just sad as shit. No, I was talking about where it says he sold cocaine to undercover police officers.
That was his.
In August. Wait, now, how the fuck do you sell? How do you sell drugs to an undercover cop 4 times? How does that work?
It's like, months.
That had to be a long-term sting, Larry. And like that, because I read that first time too, and I was like, what must have happened was they were, you know how cops always got to keep a record, like to get you, they don't just get you after one. If they can get you 4 times, they get you for the most.
Oh, yeah.
So they must have just kept doing it, and then they were like, all right, we're arresting you. we got you under full counts of blah blah blah. That must have been it, because the dude was undercover, so I'm guessing that's what happened. But yeah, dude, they're not a smart family. And the best part is the last line when the judge told him to cut his losses. He was just like, man, fuck your stepfather, man. Get the fuck out while you can, dog. Like, you would be better off living on the street than being in jail with your stepfather, dog. And he's probably right. Alright, so some positive. Oh, Jay, did you want to say something else?
That was just one other thing I saw. Bannon is 18 and his stepfather is 25. Like, what part of the game is that? How is he cool with his 25-year-old stepfather? Would you be upset about that? Say what, Larry?
Nah, when you 25 and you know, when you 18, your stepfather 25, you got a lot in common, man. 18 and 25?
Yeah, but you got one thing in common that you just don't want to talk about. That's your mama.
They probably play Xbox.
Yeah. Until he gets to play, alright, I'm going to be in back fucking your mom. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, this is like some Delonte West.
Well, sometimes you have to let it go, man.
He's just a better person than me. That's why I'm not in jail.
So I just wanted to give my man some shine. Brooklyn-born rapper Nas has. I'm sorry. I fell asleep a little bit, man. I was talking about Nas. I thought it was gonna be about the music. Brooklyn-born rapper Nas has never won a Grammy for his albums, but he just snagged a National Sports Emmy for ESPN documentary Survival 1. The film follows two amputee victims of the Liberian Civil War who form a soccer team and eventually become champions. Nas produced, directed, and scored the music for the film. After all these years of making music, I am honored to have this be the first award I ever won of this magnitude. He said of the win, an Emmy before a Grammy, crazy. And then bleep, I don't know what the bleep was, I'm assuming nigga. But that's cool, man. I just want to give him props, man. That's big of him, man. People always shitting on hip hop and how it's all fucked up. So let me just give a spotlight to somebody that did take that and do something positive with it, because you know I'm sure Soulja Boy won't be doing that.
Oh no.
Here's a dude that must have went to the must have been delivering flowers with the other woman, the mother-in-law who killed her daughter-in-law.
Okay.
He posts on Facebook, "About to kill my kid."
Oh.
Yes. That's right. Ramazan Akar, 24, pleaded guilty on Wednesday to killing his daughter after he announced his intent to do it on Facebook. You know what's funny is I saw this, he's my friend on Facebook, and I liked his status. But I was trying to be ironic. So then after he did it, I had to go back and unlike it, and I left a comment and said, "I do not approve. Not good."
Wow.
I wish there was a dislike button. He stabbed his 2-year-old daughter Yasmina to death last November, reportedly to hurt her mother, his former fiance Rachel De Argent.
So you killed a kid to get back at the mother?
Man, these relationships, man.
Damn, that child support must have been off the fucking chain.
This is what Jay was trying to warn Larian about.
It's complicated, man.
Crazy. Sometimes it wakes up and it's giving you some good loving. Sometimes you wake up and it's talking about stabbing your daughter to death. You gotta get crazy out the house, man. No pussy is that good. Akar contacted the Argent, asking if he could let Akar take her out to a chocolate shop. The mother allowed Akar to take her, citing the fact that the girl had not seen Akar in 3 months, and she was excited to see him. So that is real dirty. He basically told her, "Look, can I take our daughter out to get some, or maybe it's their daughter, I guess."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. "Can I take our daughter out to get some, chocolate, to the chocolate shop?" And she's like, "Yes, you know, it's your daughter and she wants to see you." Man, this nigga took a baby and killed her.
Wow.
He did not return his plan and began threatening to kill Yasmina through Facebook posts and text messages and phone calls to DeArge. On the day of the murder, a car posted, "About to kill my kid." And of course he had to spell it all ebonically. "About to, the number 2, kill my M-A kid" on Facebook. He then phoned the Argent and asked her if she wanted to say some last words to Yasmina. The 2-year-old girl told her mom, "I love you." And DeAndre replied, "I love you too." Akar then repeatedly stabbed the girl with a 12-inch knife. Yasmina died due to wounds in her chest and stomach and what forensic experts said was a prolonged death.
Damn!
Police later located the child's body on the side of the road in northwestern Melbourne. After the crime, Askar sent the mother a text message that said, "It's over, OVA, I did it." A Facebook posting soon after read, "Payback, you slut." Then, when Akar was asked Wednesday if he pleaded guilty or not guilty to murder, he replied in a clear voice, "Guilty." He was sentenced to Victorian Supreme Court on May 18th. And for those out there wondering, because there was a lot of Ebonics in this, yes, it was a white dude. Yep.
Yeah, he look, he's something.
He look white. He's not black.
Yeah.
As long as he's not black, yeah, I don't want to make him white. Ramadan. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck he is.
He may not be black, but this nigga ain't shit still.
That's what I'm saying. He's sick as fuck.
Yo, right. That is the sickest shit.
You got a thug over here crying and shit now, man.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him jokes. Tell him jokes.
Like when they was fucking with Obama, man. That's how I felt.
I've yet to read that one because when I heard it made me cry, I was like, I ain't crying. So,
yeah.
I refuse.
Why? No. About that story is so... And my thing is this. Leave. You'd have been better off if he'd have just left and just left them alone than to do some sick crap
right.
like that.
He's fucked up, man. Crazy people don't think like that. And a lot of people, when I talk about crazy, because, you know, I'm a man, most of the time when I think of crazy, I'm thinking of chicks. But, yeah, there's a lot of fucking crazy dudes out there.
Yes, there is.
You know, people don't, you know, we don't harp on them that much because, you know, for some reason, women don't really talk about crazy dudes that much, which is weird. Cause you think that, I think there are more crazy dudes than crazy chicks, yeah, honestly.
There's a whole movie about a crazy dude.
Which movie is that?
It's the one with the, you know, I'm talking about some, if I'm wrong, I mean, it's wow, that joke was way funnier when I thought it. It's a Tina Turner movie, man.
What's love got to do with it?
Thank you. That joke.
I mean, there's a ton of movies about crazy dudes. Put it on the Lifetime channel. You'll see them all. But I'm just saying, in general, though, like, you don't really catch women talking too much about, like, this one time, this crazy dude. Like, normally, they just kind of talk in general. But, you know, almost every dude I know, they know that one crazy chick they fucked with that drove them to the good chick. So, I love stories like this. I'm not going into too much detail with this one, but this carjacker tried to steal some dude's car and got his ass whooped and knocked out. And then the dude just got in his car and drove off.
Winning! That's what I'm talking about right
man.
Now.
I love when criminals get fucked up, man.
It's a
honestly,
cop.
Man.
Your ass will not steal.
Now, here's an awkward story for all the people that are married or in a relationship out here. This is especially you women, another evidence of a crazy dude. This man was charged after his wife found him in bed with a 12-year-old girl.
Oh!
Yes. This handsome fellow before you is 28-year-old Joel Huddleston.
What a name.
He is not handsome.
I saw the picture.
He is not handsome.
Look at the wishy eyebrows, man.
Yeah.
Chris. This nigga got jokes.
According to reports, Joel landed himself in a nice big heap of shit Tuesday night. Who wrote this article? Who wrote this article?
This shit, like,
yo, man, I gotta blame my man John Fouts for putting me onto this site because he was the one that sent me this site and was like, man, you gotta check it out. They got all kinds of crazy news, right? And this is the most ratchet site. They don't even bother not cursing in their articles. Anyway, Tuesday night after his wife took some pictures of him in a compromising position in bed with a half-naked 12-year-old girl. Authorities say the woman entered a locked bedroom door and found the pair both asleep, immediately whipped out her cell phone and snapped a few shots of the girl and Joel, whose hands allegedly were on the girl's private parts.
Allegedly? Did she not get pictures?
Well, I guess I don't know. Maybe they didn't see the pictures because, I mean, technically it's a 12-year-old girl. So, the writer of this article probably didn't see the pictures,
okay.
But
yeah, my fault.
This evidence was promptly turned over to authorities, which led to Huddleston being arrested Thursday. Of course, it wouldn't be a, and the name of the site is Dreaming Demon, so DD story, without a little something extra to spice it up. Turns out Mr. Huddleston is not only a youth pastor at Buckhead Ridge Christian Church, he's also the girls' basketball coach at Yearling Middle School and a social studies teacher. Says one former student, he was always really creepy. He'd get close to girls, they keep their distance with him. Sounds like a real charmer.
Wow, so this is possibly not the first time he's done this.
You know what, it's probably the first time somebody let him look at this nigga. No, not even... There's nobody that would let this dude fuck him. He looks like...
All the girls would be like, ew.
Yeah.
You got the cooties.
So, yeah. Okay, let's do a little hip-hop news. Y'all don't mind. The last two stories. Apparently, Chris Brown's mom says he needs to go ahead and discuss the what happened with Rihanna because it would help him out. She says... He needs to come out and set the record straight. I think he really needs to talk about the situation in itself, what actually happened to Rihanna, so he can get that out for himself. She's still making it all about him. He has to learn to deal with it and go on with his life. This is something that happened. It was a huge mistake. It was not good at all. But he is still a human being, and we all make mistakes, and we live, and we go on with it. But he has to own it, deal with it, and move on with his life. So, you know, that's good that, you know, Mother's Day, his mom will come out and support him.
And maybe I'm the asshole, but it's not going away because she keeps fucking talking about it. And he actually cuts a monkey when it's brought up. Who is his public relations people to go, nigga, just sit the fuck down and sing?
I don't know.
All you do is sing. Just sing. You can sing it away. We forgave you with Michael Jackson, but you keep bringing the shit up.
Nah, I don't understand, like, why she's saying he needs to talk about it, because every time it comes up, he starts throwing chairs, you know, he starts attacking people. Really, it's one of those things where, like, everybody would do well to just forget that he exists. Like, remember what he did, like, hey, you know, he beat up Rihanna, and then just forget he exists. Like, that way when Rihanna brings it up, we're like, who? And she's like, oh, yeah, that time Chris Brown hit me, we can just be like, we don't know Chris Brown. We just need to forget this dude exists. Like, he would do well to go, you know, go hit the South someplace, find a McDonald's, and start working on his fry skills, man. That's what he needs to do. I mean, he can sing in the kitchen, keep everybody entertained, do some, you know, moonwalk on the greasy floor, and he'll be straight. That's what
I don't know how you guys feel about him and Rihanna, but I don't think they're talented enough for me to care. and it's really sad because it's fucked up on my part, because if they were really good at what they did, I would probably have an opinion about it, but neither one of these motherfuckers are talented. And at this point, I feel like they're both making more noise and more money and more waves off of this incident than they're actually doing with their talent. Like, their music isn't worth talking about. The only thing worth talking about with these two is them beating each other and reacting to it. You know, or him beating the shit out of her and reacting to that. Like, there's really, I can't remember the last time a Chris Brown song made me think about, you know, oh yeah, Chris Brown, that's right. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you play Chris Brown in my crib, it just gets turned off. That's all it's on. So, and then, here's the last thing. Consequence, you know, for those of y'all that give a fuck, gives Amber Rose a pass in the Kanye West dispute. I relate to who she is. Former Good Music artist Consequence. Former. So he don't fuck with Kanye no more. And of course, now he has an opinion. Has relaxed. Isn't that funny though? You lose your job working for the dude you're about to talk shit about. Now you got some shit to say. I bet he wasn't saying this shit when he was on the label.
No.
He was co-signing. When he was signed, he was co-signing.
Yeah, when Kanye was in the studio talking about, and I did anything for that blonde dyke, and she'd do anything when the time's right. I guarantee he was like, yo, that's some hot bars, dog. So when we gonna sign this contract? now that he done got axed from the label, he ready to talk. So, it says, before I go any further, shout out to Amber. He didn't even say her last name. I relate to who she is. I understand she is a woman. I want to say this is it out loud. I don't think any woman ever wants to be in a position where their livelihood is compromised. What is her livelihood? What does she do?
She's just pretty.
No woman ever wants to have to work in Sue's Rendezvous, which is a strip club. She's navigated herself in the best way she could. It was a survival tactic. So, wait a minute.
It sounds like he's like condoning like gold digging. Cause I mean, that's what he's saying. He's like, hey, you know, she was a stripper and she came up on Kanye and I'm cool with that. Like, that's what you should do. Ladies, you know, if you're trying to come up, go find you. Yeah, you're trying to come up.
I'm cool with it. No, seriously. I mean, it's not her fault. She fine and niggas want to trick on her. That's not her fault. That's what's gonna happen. That's been happening throughout the history of time. So I don't want to say.
So what does he mean by no woman wants to ever be in a position where their livelihood is compromised? Like, how has her livelihood been compromised? That's what I want to know.
No, I mean, yeah, that don't make no sense because she's gonna all well. We presume she'll look like that for long enough that people will want to, you know, buy her gifts and do things for her all the time. So I don't know yet. I'm with you. She doesn't really have a livelihood per se. I mean, I don't know if you can file taxes on hoe hopping, but maybe you can.
Wow. And then I guess
you never know, man. Tricks do some marvelous things. Somebody right now is trying to get their 401k together.
I'm not doubting her for being a groupie or whatever, but it just seems funny to be like her livelihood was compromised. Like she had some other shit she was into. And then Kanye came along and fucked it up. Like, no, if anything, Kanye was the come up for her.
Oh, yeah.
A complete come up. Like, now she's fucking with Wiz Khalifa and, you know, pretty soon she'll be on the next nigga or whatever, man. And then I didn't know about this part, but apparently he had an album last year called Man Purses.
Yeah, Purses.
Yeah, Consequence. I don't know if Man Purses is gonna get too much play in the ride, but you know, maybe he was trying to be Lil B before Lil B and do like a subliminal I'm gay title.
Well, he did just say that he understands her. I mean, she is a chick, so maybe he's trying to tell her something.
He understands the taking dick part of it.
Yeah, why didn't he just go ahead and go name brand Man Gucci Purse?
Right. Well, that's already taken. That's Gucci Man's next album.
Oh.
I ain't like the. He says I ain't like the rest of these dudes. I ain't into Man Purses on the bland verses. I put more emphasis on what the fans purchase. I hear Cam's verses over Runaway. If they ain't writing, the new dudes ain't got nothing to say. But what's the sense of having soldiers who don't kick bars if you can't smell the odor from the discharge? And they say subliminally he was going at the Good Music label and Kanye with that verse. I don't know. What is up with the subliminal shit? Just say it. You're a rapper, man. You're dissing Kanye. What the fuck is he gonna do to you? Just say it.
It gives you an opportunity to either run or go forth depending on the crowd reaction, so.
Yeah, just say it. If you're going to diss the nigga, man. I hate when dudes be like, yeah, he was subliminally going at, man, just fucking get it out there. The only time you should subliminally diss somebody is if you're in a better position than them. And you just don't want to get that nigga no shine. Like when Jay said, I'm about a dollar, what the fuck is 50 Cent? Cool.
Right.
You don't want to get that nigga no shine. I feel what you're trying to do, hoe. You already made it. But this nigga trying to come up and he dissing the people that was just writing him checks, man. You might as well go ahead and get it out your mouth. Anyway, it's been another episode of Blackout Tips with some last minute guests.
Yes.
And we all did this shit off the fly, top of our heads. I didn't know Andrew J and Sipsay was gonna be here.
No,
I just put it on
either.
Twitter. It could have been any two people that would have answered.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know my mom was gonna cancel dinner. I was literally, you know? I had just tweeted I was about to go get up with my mom and then she's like, I don't, you know, nah, baby, I don't feel like going out. And I was like, alright. And then I look at my computer and he's like, anybody wanna guess? I was like, okay, I ain't doing nothing now.
And I appreciate it, both of you guys, for coming
Thank
through at the
you.
Last minute like this.
Oh, no problem.
I mean, that way people know none of these jokes were rehearsed or planned. I didn't know that I was going to be talking about Adjective J and his love for Soars or the Alabama tornadoes. I didn't know that. I didn't know Larian's socks and DUI shit coming up.
No, we
these
know.
Are all, you know, for the people out there that be like, well, how hard is the show planned? That's how it's planned. The shit just comes into our head. But let me give you guys both a second to, you know, to promote yourselves. Adjective J, Go ahead, go first, man. Tell everybody where to find your show and your Twitter and all that stuff. All
right, well, on Twitter, I am @_J. You can contact the show. The show is actually at negromajority.podomatic.com. It's KNEEGROW majority.podomatic.com. You can email the show, of course. The email is a little bit different. It's thekneegrow. And, of course, if you can't spell majority, don't email me.
All right. And, man, why don't you give them your information too, Larian? Because I know, you know, you have a conglomerate that you're promoting now. It's not just you, man. And also, what happened to A Tribe Called Breast podcast or blog talk show, man? Because I know they changed it and changed personnel and shit.
Wow, that's a whole nother podcast.
Is that deep?
I'll say it as politically correct as possible, I guess, and to keep things, you know. It was just creative differences, honestly. That's really what it boiled down to. I thought it was a little premature, but, you know, one of the members decided that they weren't really with it anymore after just a couple of shots and, you know, and amicably went their way. So that's all that really was, so... You know, anyways, we reshuffled the lineup, and, you know, some girls are doing their thing.
Cool.
It's the Three the Hard Way show, that took that same spot. But, it's WCMConline.com. That's the home of, all three of the shows we have right now. We're working on some other shows. If you guys are interested in joining up, if anybody's listening, send us a podcast. We're looking to expand. We like to get on every night, possibly have a show on is what the ultimate plan is. So, you hit me up on Twitter. It's, @Simpsei, S-I-M-P-S-E-I. And, check us out, man. We on, you got Thursday night, 9 with the girls. Friday night, Tim's, TNOTR, which is two niggas on the radio. They're hilarious. You really gotta check them out. And, Right Radio Sundays at 8. We took the day off because of Mother's Day, but yeah, we've been consistent.
Cool, man. I hate to see all them titties fall apart like that.
Just put those other titties in. That's all. She's
right.
And all, but she's a model.
Right. That works, man. And, shout out to Baratunde Day Thurston, by the way, for following me on Twitter. I don't know how long that shit's going to last, but if you guys go look him up, y'all will see, like, either he's a fan of Ratchet on the low, or he just thinks that I'm a completely different type of person than what I really am. of course, this has been the Blackout Tips Podcast. Find us on the blackouttips.com. Email the show, theblackouttips@gmail.com. And you can always call the show, 704-557-0186. Leave us a voicemail. We respond to those on Sundays. My mom's graduating on Thursday, so we're going to have to change the date of the show this week. Yeah. We're playing it by ear. We'll figure out what we're going to do with that, but we will promise to get you a show in the middle of the week sometime.
Yes.
Damn, Karen, we made a 2-hour show out of nothing with impromptu guests.
Hey.
So till next time, love you.
You too, baby. Mwah.